Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be preaching are now warring on my TV.
You see the nation is straight away, but now we're coming back to you, Paul.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. I hope you're having a good day today. The number here is 347-945-5229. And today is the day before Thanksgiving. Today is the 21st of November. This month has really flown by fast for me. And we are almost to the end of the year. It is beautiful. The weather is absolutely gorgeous outside for it to be the beginning, for Thanksgiving weekend, for it to be the end of November. And today is open mic. We will be doing the best of on the next couple days. So I'm going to take a break and let Jeff and Ben and all of us take a break. And move back fresh and invigorated for next week as we go through into the holidays and to the Christmas holidays. As I said, it is open mic, and we'll go where you want to go today. I had a good conversation at the end of the show yesterday, and I hope they can regain that conversation and that momentum in reference to education, especially for inner cities and African-American urban students, where the disparity of education there is so diabolical, and we need to do better. Education is the key to success, and it is the new civil rights, and we need to understand that. And if you don't have a good education, you will not be able to compete in a global society. And I don't care what race, creed, color you are, that's just the truth. And what's happening now is we are giving ourselves over to become an entertainment. I'm going to play some clips in a few moments that was just truly astonishing, because you know we always poke fun at people when we see them coming in. It's like, oh, they ought to know better. But I want you to hear what some of these students really know about America and know about what's going on every day. Even the most bright, the lack of a better word. Even students who were not the brightest or the sharpest pencil in the deck, or should I say sharpest pencil in the box, they had an idea of some things. And today we have allowed our students to become so unknowledgeable about stuff when it comes to current events. And we have become such talking heads that we have allowed our students to become desensitized to what's going on in our society, which is not a good thing. And also want to, today while we're, I want to, hopefully, maybe we'll keep it light, I hope, a little while. Want to talk about, I want to do things that you're thankful for. And so, and I might as well start it off right now before I play my clip. But I want to tell you guys I'm thankful for all of you and for the opportunity to come into your workplace and into your car and into your homes and wherever you may be, by radio, whether it be by internet, whether it be by Blog Talk, whether it be by website, whether it be by iHeart. I'm thankful that you guys have entrusted us. Those of you who listen to our archive show because you can't listen to us live, I want to let you know that I appreciate all of you. We have thousands of people that listen to our shows in the archives, and that is such a blessing. You guys don't know how that feels to me, and it's so very, very humbling, and I pray that we will always be here for you somewhere, doing something, talking about something that will spark an interest or actually just make you think. And so my Thanksgiving, I am grateful to God for you guys, for my family and for the friends that I have, but I'm thankful for my listeners and the audience and my advertisers that make sure that we're here every day, and our supporters, that they trust us to do a good job for you, and I just want to say thank you. Pam Bennett, Prophetess Pam Bennett, is going to be at Touch Heaven Ministries, located on 46 in Canfield, on the Sunday at 10 o'clock. So if you get a chance, please go out there and support her, listen to her. She's going to be ministering then. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about her. However, hopefully she's going to call in this afternoon and talk to us a little bit about what's been going on with her and what's happening within our own society. There's a lot going on that we may or may not be paying attention to when it comes to spiritual things. when you look at the weather, when you look at, you know, you've got Israel, you have Pakistan. They're talking peace, but peace does not come to Israel like that. When you look at America and the United States, when you look at the shifting that we've made, and whether you like it or not, we have made a shift with our past election. And I, as I said, I still support, I pray for, and I cover President Obama, even when I disagree with him. And I ask that all of you, whether you be conservative and or liberal, that you begin to pray for the United States and pray for your leadership. You don't have to agree with them to pray for them. So I'm going to get that out there. I want you guys to listen to this. I just thought this was just so very – I just can't understand this. The number is 347-945-5229.
Hi, I'm Austin, and you are watching One Scholars, where we put the bright young minds of our student body to the test. Do you know the capital of Washington State?
Seattle.
Olympia.
What is the capital of Washington?
Seattle.
Olympia.
Olympia.
Can you name one Democratic candidate for the 2012 presidential campaign?
No.
Nope. You can't do that one either.
Barack Obama, because he's running again, right?
Do you know the Vice President of the United States?
Definitely not.
George Bush.
George Bush is the Vice President?
The bald guy. He was going to run for it, and he has Clinton, right?
Bill Clinton, the Vice President, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Yes. You did. Correcto. Sarah Palin?
Yeah, I don't think that's right either. I don't think it is either. I don't know who it is. It's somebody Bin Laden.
Joe Biden.
Is that right? Joe Biden.
There you go. In what war did the U.S. gain its independence?
The British War,
the Civil War.
That one. The Civil War. Civil War.
I don't know. I just did this, so I don't remember.
I was never taught that knowledge.
Civil War? That war.
I don't know. Tell you the truth.
How about I just give you a couple wars and you can pick from a list?
Okay.
All right. Korean War?
Korean War?
Yes or no?
Yes.
The Korean War is when we gain our independence. Korean War. Civil War. Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Revolutionary War.
American Revolution.
Yeah, American Revolution. You got a fist.
That's the one.
Can you name all of the countries that border the United States?
South America.
There you go.
Boom. One.
South America. Mexico and South America.
America. Mexico and Canada.
There's too many.
There's too many? Okay.
Canada? That's a state, never mind.
Mexico, Canada. Pretty sure that's it. Can you think of a country that starts with the letter U?
U. That one. Uganda.
And Julie, you're famous.
Uruguay. Uruguay's another one.
Europe. That starts with an E.
Uzbekistan. That's all I can think of.
United States.
Or United States. I don't know. Utopia.
What country are we in? Oh, United States. United States starts with a U.
Oh, my God.
How many stars are on the flag?
51.
51? Why?
51 states.
Why?
There's one for
52 states.
And how many stars are on the flag?
51.
51? No, 50.
52.
52? 53.
50.
50.
Why is that?
Because there's 50 states, 248 mainland, and 2 that are outside. One that is connected to Canada named Alaska, and one out in the sea named Hawaii.
Thank you for watching. We hope you...
You know, and you know, we make light of it. You see it on Jay Leno, and you see it when they go walk the streets and they ask people, you know, what, you know, these simple questions that you think, you know, who is the Speaker of the House? You know, who is the President of the Senate? Who breaks a tie? And then we fail to realize that these are the same people who are either getting ready to vote or are voting for our policies. And this, and I'm not saying this to be snide against anyone. America is going to have to grow up and begin to take responsibility and ownership on what it knows and what it doesn't know, and start really paying attention to what's going on. Because the reason why we are in the situations that we're in as Americans is because we have allowed ourselves to become dumbed down. It is said that if you have a high school diploma in 1923, it is equivalent to having a degree, a four-year degree from a college today. And with all the knowledge that we have, if you look at, you know, our computer, our technology, we are smarter, brighter, and should know better. But for some reason, we are allowing ourselves, because of entertainment, to become desensitized and to become ignorant of things that we need to know. And ignorance is going to kill us if we're not careful. Other countries are paying attention to what's going on in America, and we're not paying attention to what's going on in our own communities, in our own world, in our own life. And I'm hoping that our show makes you think. The whole process, how this came into being, is I want people to begin to think. And if I can get you to think, then I can get you to move forward. And I don't mean forward in the way that, you know, President Obama did his cliche. I don't mean forward in the way that they talk about socialism. I'm talking about advancing. We need to advance as Americans, but you can only advance through knowledge and through education. And if you don't advance through knowledge and education, then you will never advance. And the reason why I'm saying this and going into it this way is because I'm looking at the next clip that I'm going to play, which is, you know, I'm going to do this back and forth. And, again, it is open mic today, so if you want to change the subject, you're more than welcome to do so. But I'm going to play something called The Truth About Minimum Wage. We as Americans, we deserve to get pay for what we our earnings. We deserve it. And I'm working up towards what's going with they're calling for a walkout of Walmart on tomorrow. And I am not a Walmart fan in any way, shape, sense of the matter. I am not a Walmart fan. I am Tracy is not a Walmart fan. But in saying that, I'm going to talk about this because I'm going to talk about small business. And as we move forward and talk about small business, we need to also understand about the pay scale and what happens with minimum wage. And when you look at minimum wage, you think that because you get more money in your pocket, it should help you. And what we're finding out is people are getting paid more, but the minimum wage is not helping your bottom line. So we keep on raising the minimum wage, we keep on raising wages, but you keep on buying less and you keep on having less. Our parents had more with less than we have with much. We need to really look at this. Our great grandparents, our grandparents, and our parents, especially if you were part of the baby boomers, they had more with less, even though they had less with more. And what I'm saying is they made less money, but they bought more with the money that they make. I was talking to my mom, and I was talking about Hostess, you know, Hostess going out of business, and we wouldn't be able to buy Wonder Bread anymore. And she said, "Oh wow, I remember when Wonder Bread was a nickel, and you got a hoo hoo in it." And I'm like, "A what? A hoo hoo? So you got a gift inside? inside of your, or you want inside of your bread, and bread was a nickel. Now we're paying $3 for a loaf of bread. So let's look at this. You've got 20 nickels and a dollar. So you're looking at 50, 60, 70 years ago, they were paying a nickel for a loaf of bread. Follow me here. A nickel for a loaf of bread. Now we pay 60 nickels for the same loaf of bread. And in that 60 nickels, more goes out than comes in. I just want us to talk about it that way. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Wage is supposed to help the poorer, less skilled, and younger workers in the economy. But it doesn't. It gets them fired. Employment happens as a result of human choices. For example, let's say some kid named Jimmy knocks on your door and wants to know if you can mow your lawn. If your lawn really needs to be mowed, you might choose to employ him for $10. If he charges $20, we might still not complain. But if he charges $50, $100, $1,000, at some point, that job will not be created. Jimmy will be unemployed. Why is this? It isn't because you're greedy, but simply because you value $100 more than that service being provided. In this case, your lawn being mowed. An employer has to believe that the value created by an employee is greater than his cost. And that is why minimum wage laws cause unemployment. It is impossible to sustain employing anyone doing work which is valued less than their wage. The higher the minimum wage, the sooner Jimmy is out of a job. Think about it. How many jobs would be lost if entrepreneurs were forced to only hire people whose labor they valued at $20 an hour? How about $50? $100 an hour? If the minimum wage is fundamentally sound, we should be able to increase it without fear of hurting the economy. Sure, some very highly skilled workers wouldn't be hurt by a $100 an hour minimum wage, but the rest of the workforce would be unemployed. When employment costs increase, entrepreneurs have two choices. They can reduce the amount of people they employ, or they can raise the price of the goods they produce. Otherwise, they're in the red. This makes the minimum wage a double whammy. Even if you don't lose your job, you and everyone else in the economy will be forced to pay for more expensive goods. Now that's counterproductive. And keep in mind, who is hurt most by rising prices? It's the lower wage workers, the very people the minimum wage is trying to help. In a free market, employment is a win-win-win situation. Employers benefit because the value created by their employees is greater than their cost. Workers benefit not only from a wage, but they also gain work experience, which they can use to demand higher wages in the future. And society as a whole benefits from that labor being added to the total pool of economic productivity. But the unemployment caused by the minimum wage is a lose-lose-lose. Workers are robbed of their wages and that invaluable work experience. Employers are robbed of the benefit that would have been gained by employing. And the whole economy is worse off because those unemployed workers are now unable to contribute their labor to help everyone's economic prosperity. To learn more about sound economics, visit fee.org.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening again to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. And so that's where I, you know, that's where I am right now. Because when I say that, and the more I learn, and I'm since I've got some time and it's just me, I might as well get it all out. If I pay more as a business owner, because we don't stop the business owner from raising his fees. So if I pay more to my employees, I go up on my prices to get more. And when I say that, think about it this way. When you pay $10 an hour, most employers want to make at least double or triple, sometimes seven times more than that person that actually is paying $10 an hour. So your productivity should outweigh your cost. And so this is something that we have we really are not taught when we talk about economics in school. When you go to get a job and you say that you want to make this amount, this wage, there are a lot of cost factors that come into it. There's lights, there's rent, there's overhead, there's workman's compensation, there's HR, there's, you know, everything costs money. It costs money to spend money to make money. And so you may be paying the person $10 an hour, but with your taxes and all of your regulations and everything that goes into employ that person, you're probably paying about $20 an hour. Well, you need to get $40 an hour out of the person to actually make a profit, because no one's in business to not make a profit. And so every time it moves up, if your minimum wage goes up to $12 an hour, then the person who was at middle management and they were making $15 an hour, they go up to $17 an hour. Your upper management goes from $25 an hour to $27 an hour. And so all that adds into your minimum wage. And minimum wage, I don't understand why we have not restructured how we do things, because I think entry-level jobs and jobs for teenagers and jobs for your first job, you can get less than, you know, the minimum wage if I have to train you, teach you, and build you as an employee. It's the same. I don't understand why we don't change some things and make some things a little bit better when it comes to paying people. Because if I'm going to hire a teenager at $7.30 an hour, and that teenager is living at home with his parents, if that teenager is, I've got to wait for you to come to work, go around your school schedule, go around your football schedule, do all that kind of thing, and still be a part of and pay you at the same price I pay another person who is coming in there because they need to make a living. It's very, very difficult for what they do. And everybody is in business to make money. We need to understand that. Everybody is in business to make money. And the day that the businesses stop making money is the day that they start closing the doors. And so we have to figure out a way to pay people a fair wage, yet allow a business to make a profit. Because the year that the business does not make a profit is a year that the business has to cover everything that's in the business until it becomes profitable again. So because business is highs and lows, then you're looking at people who are in the lean years when you're going through a recession and people are not shopping. You've got to be able to carry a lot of those people from your profit until you become profitable again. Now, there are some employers that do not do that, and don't get me wrong. I know we've got some bad ones out there. I understand that. But now, I brought all this up because and I want you to call in and tell me what you think. It's my understanding that they're asking Walmart employees to walk out on tomorrow. They say they pay too much for their health benefits, and they don't receive enough money for what they do. And so my question is, what do you think? The number 347-945-5229. Hey, Stanley. Hello.
Tracy, sorry.
How you doing, Stanley? Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, very good. I'm listening to what you're saying. The problem I have is what you're saying is I have no problem company making profit. It's the whole philosophy that company are making more than profit. They're basically taking advantage of the profit they have to make so much money compared to the lawyer employee that basically it's more than profit. It's like it's not even profit. It's like if you take Walmart and you look at all the profit that they have and all the money that they had, and the top people, the CEO, and all the people in the top of the company are getting paid so much every year, and they decide that by their own, by voting on their own, to decide, like, we need to have a higher raise. Okay, no problem. We'll put you 20%. We'll put you 40%. We'll put you whatever you want. That's where I have a problem. And then we talk about employees at the bottom and say, sorry, minimum wage, we can't pay them because we don't have the money. You do have the money. You just don't want to take the high raise that you used to have. That's where you have a problem.
So my question is, I'm not a Walmart fan. I am not a Walmart fan. Why are you working there? And why are you not making – because, see, you don't have to work at Walmart. We made Walmart into the monster that they are.
Well, it's not just Walmart. We could take McDonald's. We could take, you know, so many companies that you're saying they're paying minimum wage, and then you look at the profit they're making, you're like, wait a minute. You can't pay employees better? If it wasn't, like I said many times in your show, if it wasn't for your employees, you wouldn't have a company.
But my question
yes, companies are there to make profit, but companies are also there to remember, without your employees, you don't have no company.
But the question is, hold on, but why are you working there? You know, I look at Walmart and I look at Kmart. For some reason, people are addicted to Walmart, but they despise Kmart. If you know that Walmart is the way they are, we know that Walmart is predatory. Walmart and Giant Eagle, they're out to put everybody out of business. Am I wrong?
No.
And so since I know this, and since I don't agree with Walmart's business practices, ask me where I do not shop.
You don't shop at Walmart.
I can't tell you the last time I was in a Walmart unless I have to go. I mean, when I say have to go, it's because nothing else is around. I do not do Walmart. I've watched Walmart, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to squeeze everybody out of business so that they can no longer, they can just do what they choose.
Yeah, that they can no longer have competition.
Correct. I have a problem with that. So since I have a problem with that, I do not shop at Walmart. So why is it that we are, tomorrow is, and the thing is, if you look at the Hostess thing, Hostess may have been running, and it may have been a poorly run business all these years. Hostess may have been the worst business in the world, the business model. But you can't make it any better by sucking the business dry and then getting mad when they say they can't pay you anymore and get mad when they close their doors. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And again, it's open mic. But you can't, I mean, I want to talk about this, because tomorrow's Thanksgiving, but Friday, people are going to go in debt trying to buy stuff on sale and stand out in line, and stores are even opening on tomorrow night. And I'm going to talk about this because I've got some issues with where our priorities lie and why we allow things to become like they are. See you on the other side of the break.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Police found a man shot to death at a home in East Youngstown early yesterday morning. Officers were called to 1948 Atkinson Avenue. The body of 28-year-old O'Neill Williams of Pontiac, Michigan, was on the first floor. There was no sign of forced entry into the home. The homicide is the 26th this year in Youngstown. Northern Ohio's top prosecutor says prison sentences have sent a message in the case of three men who plotted unsuccessfully to bomb a highway bridge in Ohio. The U.S. attorney said the sentences show that anyone who tries to endanger the community will be held to account. And the Ohio Supreme Court suspended the law license of former Ohio Attorney General Mark Dan for 6 months. The ruling means Dan cannot work as an attorney during the suspension and is punishment for his 2008 resignation amid a sexual harassment scandal. The State Disciplinary Council had asked for a year-long suspension. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes, and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
Your station a bit fuzzy? Away on vacation, you don't want to miss your morning show? Well, you can bring them with you everywhere you go. iHeartRadio, the best of live radio. Go to iHeartRadio.com now or download the free app on your mobile phone or tablet.
Listen to Rock 104 at iHeartRadio.com.
Oh, hey, Samantha.
Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Oh, sure. Wow, I'd love to.
Great. Now give me your Subway steak melt.
My melt?
Yeah, I'm your girlfriend now.
I don't think this is working out.
Get your own Subway steak melt, like the tender, juicy steak and bacon melt, or the succulent, smoky chipotle steak and cheese. Get yours today. Subway. Eat fresh.
Looking to spice things up? Then hurry to Subway for the Spicy Italian, the featured $5 footlong of November. Loaded with spicy pepperoni and Genoa salami on freshly baked Italian urban cheese bread. Try it fresh toasted with whatever you want, like melty cheese or crunchy green peppers. November only. The featured $5 footlong Spicy Italian joins our many other $5 footlongs. Subway. Eat fresh.
Limited time only, plus applicable tax prices and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, it's open mic today, and the number again is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. Again, I want to say a happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and that I appreciate all of you, and I'm thankful for you. Thankful for the country that we live in, and thankful for the listeners that we have and the advertisers, and so I want to say thank you again. I was having a conversation with Stanley, and I brought this up because of minimum wage and what's going, them calling for a walkout at Walmart on Friday or tomorrow night. And, you know, as I said, I'm not a Walmart fan. I don't like how Walmart, I've watched Walmart, American-made, squeeze people out of business. Maybe I'm a bad business person. I'm not looking to be a monopoly and be king of the hill. I just want a piece of the pie that I can distribute it and live a comfortable life, and for me and my family. I may be a bad business person, but that's just how I feel. And I know that Walmart may or may not be the best company in the world to work for, but the question is, why be there, and why doesn't America support them the way they do? If their practices are so bad, we've watched women sue them. We've watched everything happen with Walmart. We know that they are the most powerful company in the world, and their assets, if you combine them together by the whole family, is something like $88 billion. And my numbers may not be a little bit off. I'm just saying, but for some reason, America would rather shop at Walmart instead of shop at Kmart. So my question is, why is that? Michigan, is that you?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? That's you from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about you were speaking about Walmart, and I've worked in retail and fast food before, and I know what the attitude of the managers is. Basically, the attitude is that this is unskilled labor. So they're hiring people off the street. They don't know, even in a lot of circumstances, they don't even check if they have a criminal background. And they don't know what their skills are. They assume they can count money and that they can do basic forms of labor. But if you're hiring people off the street, you're not going to want to pay them over $7.50 an hour, because you can easily hire someone in their place the next day if they decide to not show up for work, or if they get fired. So there's no respect level for the employees at that level. And so that's the reason why Walmart tends to abuse its employees, and they don't want to pay them anymore because they don't want to go over what the minimum wage is supposed to be.
Okay, I agree with you on that. I agree. So why everybody barking up a – they're barking up a tree like they – these people are – I mean, I have a problem with people – and maybe I'm wrong. You know, if I'm wrong, call me in and say, Tracy, you're off your rocker. If you don't have a skill set, how do I pay you for a skill set?
Well, Walmart, McDonald's, Burger King, Target, those are supposed to be survival-type jobs, jobs that are ideal for somebody who has lost a job and they need some income before they can get before they're able to get another job. They're not supposed to be jobs that people live off of for long periods of time.
Okay.
So that's the way they're designed. Now, if you have a lot of people that are in those lines of employment, they have to wonder, what are they doing with their lives? Are they able to develop themselves so that they do have a skill set so they can go out and command a decent salary? The real fault of the unemployment problem in America today is the public school system is not producing people who are competitive in the job market. That's the problem.
Okay.
And we're just producing people, and the only place they can work is at Target or Walmart, because in a lot of cases people are not graduating from the 12th grade and they're able to read on the 12th grade level. They don't have any skills that they learned while they were in high school. Most of the vocational programs have been taken out of the high school, so people don't graduate from high school with a skill such as plumbing or a skill like carpentry or anything like that. So they can't go into an apprenticeship program.
Okay.
So
I'm with you on that.
This, in fact, there was a high school here where they had an automotive program. They were teaching kids how to be mechanics. These kids became so proficient at things like auto mechanics, they were actually able to build a car that was competitive in a nationwide competition where hybrid vehicles were being built by college students and high school students. These kids from this inner city high school built a hybrid vehicle, and they beat out students that were at MIT who had also built a hybrid vehicle.
So
most of these kids were kids that were at risk for dropping out of high school. But this automotive program in the high school was a program that was able to capture their interest, and as a result, they were able to graduate from high school, and they were able to enter some type of intern program where they would be an auto mechanic after, like, 2 years.
Okay.
So, you know, and these are the types of programs that are being cut from the educational budgets of the state, of most states, and
so
these are the programs that need to be promoted.
So my question is,
because these programs work.
So
yes.
My question is,
mm-hmm.
why is America so in love with Walmart that we keep on shopping there? And
because,
I said, hold on, minimum wage.
Yeah.
Minimum wage is not. We keep on driving this minimum wage to where minimum wage – in the state of Ohio, minimum wage is based upon market measures, based upon inflation, which is in our Constitution. It goes up automatically no matter what. So how are you going to keep on employing people if you don't have the skill set, yet you're not getting anywhere, you're not advancing as you should be, and the kids are coming out of class. And I just got done playing a clip earlier showing just how out of touch the average American electorate person is, the person that's coming through high school. They don't even know who's running for office. Name me a country that begins with the letter U.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, 409, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Homeschool Dad.
Hey, Homeschool.
Hey.
How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. I think another problem, too, is that there's too much of an emphasis in households to teach their kids to, I guess, not think out of the box. Obviously, being a homeschool family, we kind of look at education a little differently. And I just think most people look at life, you either graduate from high school and get a job or learn a trade or go to college and get a job. But most of those, you know, those three paths are all relying on somebody else to give you a job. You're relying on somebody else to provide your income. You're relying on somebody else to basically take care of you and your family. I wish more families would teach their kids about starting their own businesses or creating wealth in a way that maybe is outside the regular go to school, graduate, get a job, get a weekly paycheck. You know, because I think once you kind of break out of that, you know, and I, even though I have a regular job, my DJ business has taught me a lot about this. When you kind of break out of that, you know, hourly wage thing, working for a boss, then, you know, the minimum wage isn't such a big deal anymore. Or what this corporation is doing to its workers isn't such a big deal anymore, because all of a sudden, you know, the power of your financial life is in your hands and not so much in another person's. I just think there's so much, when you're relying on another person to take care of you by giving you a job and then making sure you, you know, get paid every single week, there's a certain amount of power you're giving that person over you. And I just think, I just wish a lot of households would really stress more how to teach their kids how to get money in this world. It just isn't your typical get a job or go to college and get out and try to get a job. You know what I mean? I wish they just were more creative when it came to teaching your kids how to get wealth once they get old enough to do that.
So do you think that the employees are right for wanting to walk out on Walmart on Friday, on Black Friday?
Boy.
Yeah.
I don't even really have an opinion about that. I mean,
come on, don't be chicken. Don't be chicken.
Why are they walking out?
Because they feel as though they pay too much for their benefits and they're not making enough money.
See, I guess when you go to a person and saying, hey, I need you for my livelihood, what say do you really have? You're going to them, basically bowing down to them, saying, hey, I need you. You know what I mean? I guess at that point, what can you really say? You know what you're in for. I mean, you know what's being offered to you. I mean, I guess the power will always be in the hands of the person who has the ability to hire others. Now, some will abuse that power, and some won't. Some treat their workers really, really well. But I guess as long as you're the person having to be hired, then, you know, I guess you don't have a whole lot of say in it. So that's why I say I wish more people would try to find out what they're passionate about, find out what they love, and see if they can actually make, you know, income doing that very thing. Just with the internet and everything nowadays, it's just, there's just a whole world out there. There's so many different ways to make money anymore that isn't your typical, you know, get a however many dollar an hour job and get a paycheck every 2 weeks. You
know, I don't know.
So many ways to make money.
You know, I am a huge Martha Stewart fan. And I'm not talking about her product. I'm talking about her business model. Even with going to prison, she's making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, you know,
hold on, Philadelphia. But wait a minute. But people don't realize she started her business going door to door selling pies because of a fix she was in. Even though she had a background in finance. But again, even though her background in finance, tell me why we are not looking at the business model of this woman and saying, you know what, we can do this.
Yeah, but see, the financial education has to be taught in the home. How to manage money, how to work at a business, how to be an entrepreneur. A lot of these are cultural patterns that you don't find in every home. And some people that come from Asia and come from Latin America, they have this in their cultures, and they automatically pass this down to their children. Whereas in some of the people who are Americans here, they can be white or black, they may not be taught that in the home.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with him. We're taught in our home to basically go get the education, go get the degree, work for somebody, and then if you work long enough for somebody, you'll go upper in the echelon, and eventually you'll be okay. We're never taught, go get a degree, create something with the degree that you're doing, to create an enterprise, create something with that degree, so you don't have basically somebody else taking control of your life, which is an owner or a person who has your life. And we never learn about that. We all are about job, but job is the worst thing ever for every human being. It takes out your creativity. It takes out your humanness. It takes out everything that you deserve. You're basically dependent to somebody when you work for somebody.
Yeah. And also what's happening is in the lower income people in a lot of the American cities, because they don't have the skill set, they can't command a higher salary on a job. So if they're working as a store clerk at Walmart, they can protest all they want. But Walmart is following the American model of enterprise.
Okay,
they're able to lower their prices at a certain set point where they can drive out their competition, and they're putting everything under one roof.
Hold on, listen to what you just said. Between Stanley and Philadelphia, listen to what you just said. Now let's go back a couple generations. And homeschool dad, I know you'll probably agree with me on this. Our great-grandparents did not have the education nor the technical savviness as we do today. They didn't have degrees in economics. All they had was hard work and a drive and a will to succeed. Tell me why we are not duplicating that same drive in our own communities today.
Because in a lot of the poor communities, there's a lot of laziness and there's a lot of ignorance.
And it's passed down
from generation to generation. People are really isolated when they live in these projects and in like different aspects of low income housing. They're isolated from the mainstream community.
And why are we allowing this?
Well, the reason why people allow it because people want to leave it up to government to solve all of these problems when most of these social problems have to be solved on a family or if it's not solved at the level of the family, it has to be solved by the community. It can't be solved by government.
And to add what he's saying, also, we have a school system that basically are creating employees instead of creating entrepreneurs. We have a school system that's basically telling you that you will – we have a school system that's basically forming people to stay in the rat race, that means work for your rest of your life, and depend on your owner, on your boss, or anything to basically forget about your creativity, forget about your spirit, forget about what it is. You're going to be conformed to having – we have a school system that basically advantages people to have straight grades, A, B, C – but we don't advantage people working together and learning together.
So,
but in business, you need to work together to learn each other. I don't care if you guys are A or a B. You could have an A and a B. The A and a B are working for the C people.
So, again, why are we allowing this to happen? And how are we going to get ourselves out of this? Because right now, we are headed into some areas that do not look good for African Americans and for the country, because if the country fails, African Americans are definitely going to fall.
Without a doubt, and And like I said on your other program, is that African Americans are headed towards being a permanent underclass because of their dependence on the government.
So why is it that we are still allowing the government to depend on it and we vote for it? Going again, why have we not stood up and said, file? See, there comes a point where you got to stand up and say, listen, there's a trend. You're getting ready to walk into a brick wall. Stop.
But, Tracy, didn't you say it in one time in the program, they're doing all this because they want you to be uninformed, and the more uninformed you are, the more less power you have. The less power you are, the more they control you. That's why.
So how do we stop this?
If every school system had the economy or teaching them the real way about money, how it is, how it works, how do we create it, how things are, what is a rat race, what's an employee, what's a business owner, what's an investor, what's a self-employed person. Every school had that? Trust me not. A lot of people would not be happy because a lot of people would know the information, know the knowledge, and a lot of people would wake up and say, I'm not going to work 20, 30 years for somebody.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. So how do we change it?
Because it has to be changed at the level of the family. The family has to be the one that changes. The mother and the father.
No. Family can't. That goes back to what Michigan and what Jeff and them were saying Alabama, what they were saying the other day about getting these kids in their 3 and 4. And what I'm saying is, if you don't condition the parent to be educationally minded, you can't condition the kids, because at the end of the day, these kids don't go back to boarding school. These kids go home.
Well, then what we need to do is go to these African-American pastors and tell them we have a systemic problem in the community. We need to re-educate a lot of these parents about aspects of this new economy and what they need to be teaching their children in the home. So, you know, pastors like a T.D. Jakes down
do
in
they care?
Texas or,
I know
you
who
know,
he is.
Different people at these civil rights organizations like Jackson and Sharpton, they need to start a massive re-education program.
But
do they care? Because Americans are about to fall by the wayside.
But I don't. I, Stanley, don't start with this. Just because I'm mentioning it, I'm not quite sure if the church cares. The church pastor cares. A lot of them. Because if they cared, then they wouldn't just sell out, Philadelphia. I said if they care, they just wouldn't sell our vote and get on the bandwagon any kind of way and not barter for what's good for us, even those that know. Because let me finish. There was a coalition called Bishops for Obama. Mm-hmm. And they came together like they was in a business going after this president, even though he's already let them know that I'm not standing up for what you stand for. And why would they allow that to happen?
Well, the reason why they allowed it to happen is because they were told during the civil rights movement days that if they voted for the Democratic Party, they would expand the government, and that would ensure that they would get the government subsidies and they would get the government employment. That's the reason why they voted Democratic no matter what.
But do you hear what I'm saying? See, okay, I'll let you fly with the 60s. Okay, maybe that's what they got in the 60s, and the 60s were okay with that. But here we are, 2012, and it's 45 years, 47 years, 48 years early, later, almost 50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we go 50 years forward. Now, you just found out. If you got any sense, whatever happened in the 60s was in the 60s, but it's not working in the new millennium, because right now you are pushing high numbers of incarceration, high numbers of unemployment, high numbers of disparity in health care, and low numbers of economic development, and low numbers of education.
And the reason why all of that is happening is because there is a real lack of knowledge about basic life skills in the black community. You would be surprised what people do not know.
Listen, let me go a little bit deeper with me, okay? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You know what? I've got to take a break real quick. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic. Do want to hear from you today. I am going to be here all day long today and want to hear from you. Tomorrow we will be back. Tomorrow I will not be here. Tomorrow will be a best of, and so will Friday. We'll be back here on Monday. Again, number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Bye.
The weekend is coming. The weekend is coming.
See store for details.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
The country's most influential group of OBGYNs is recommending that birth control pills be sold over the counter. ABC's Larry Jacobs on why the group believes it's the best way to go and the possible problems associated with it.
Half of the nation's pregnancies every year are unintended. Birth control pills are very safe. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists points that out in making a pitch for over-the-counter birth control pills. The group wants them sold like condoms. But it could take some time. A company would have to seek government permission first, and then there's the cost factor. While no doctor visit would be necessary, insurance wouldn't cover it if it's over the counter. The Food and Drug Administration's already held a meeting to get ideas on how it might work. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
As a bankruptcy court judge in New York considers whether to allow Hostess to go out of business, the fate of the company will have a significant impact on an Iowa man. Larry Fife's been selling deep-fried Twinkies at the Iowa State Fair for the better part of a decade. He says he'd rather not use some knockoff cream-filled sponge cake. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
This Saturday at Ace, get 50% off one regular priced item under $30 with your Saturday coupon. Find and print the coupon at acehardware.com.
The weekend is coming!
So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Limit one coupon per household. Offer only valid Saturday, November 24th. Must present coupon to redeem offer.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
Additional conditions and other exclusions apply.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Never believe in the good of all mankind.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, today here is the 21st of November 2012, the day before Thanksgiving, and I hope you guys are going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And again, I appreciate all of you having a conversation. It is open mic. But talking about the mindset of people and what's causing the demise of a lot of people. And, you know, we talk about African Americans because I am a black girl who happens to be conservative. And happen to care about my community, and I am, when I look at the disparaging numbers of what goes on, you know, I can't do anything but talk out loud about it. I want to let you guys know that Prophetess Pam Bennett, which is Jeff's sister, she's going to be ministering on Sunday morning at Touch Heaven Ministries over on 46, and she will be there at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And they're inviting everybody to come over and to worship with them there. She's a wonderful minister. She has a wonderful ministry, and we look forward to having you call in having you go in and visit her on Sunday at 10 o'clock at Touch Heaven Ministry. Local call. Your mic is on.
Hey, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Miss Tracy, you know, I want to, make the. You know, because I know what I was coming across as being in left field about that one religious group. And I know a lot of people.
Steve.
What you know, I have something to say because I know.
You better get it out quick because I'm.
There's a reason why I want to bring this up, Ms. Tracy.
Okay.
It's because, you know, I wanted to let people know that I'm not a part of that religious group, even though
I'm. Steve, we don't care.
Mention it.
We don't care. We ain't trying to talk about them. We're not.
I know.
What do you want to talk about? I'm not talking about that. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, because I realize I come across as being in left field, and it doesn't make me look good because I know your show is taped, and I know, like you saying, you're having the best of your show, and I'm going to be coming up. And it's going to, you know, it doesn't make me look so good, and it doesn't make them look so good, although.
What are you talking about?
You know,
don't nobody care. Philadelphia, do you really care about his religion?
No, I thought you were talking about blacks in the economy.
I was.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I know.
So what are you talking about?
Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up for Ms. Tracy is because I know that your show is on tape and stuff.
And?
Like that. And that. You know, I don't want people, and it sounds like I'm coming across as being in left field today. And not
absolutely, because we don't know what we either want you to change the subject to something that we're gonna want to talk about, or.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, I wanted to bring up about, you know, about Walmart.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. So go ahead, make your Walmart point. There you go. Come to Walmart with us.
My point on Walmart is that I don't think they. You know, treat their employers right when it comes down to giving them a fair wages and pay.
But what's a fair wage? Am I supposed to pay you for what you do, or am I supposed to pay you for what you want?
Many of the people are, and you have it down that's unskilled labor, but that's not true because that people that work at Walmart are intelligent people. You can't. Be like myself who
yes, you
have
can.
A learning disability and work at Walmart.
Yes, you can.
Hire you.
That's not, just because I don't hire you does not mean you cannot work at Walmart. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work at Walmart.
Well, the only type of job I could probably do at Walmart is maybe stock boxes, and then you have to pretty much know how to read. Which I have a hard.
You don't have to know that much.
But Miss Tracy, still, that's hard work.
And doesn't matter.
But still, even if it's even though it may not acquire what you call a real skill, still people should be paid, you know, a decent wage. It's not like,
what is a decent wage? And do I have to pay you for what you don't know?
I think that,
or do I have to pay you for what you do know?
Walmart should be paid $10 an hour.
Why?
Because I think Walmart can afford it. That Walmart is
just because I can afford it does not mean I need to pay you $10 an hour if the job doesn't warrant $10 an hour. That's like General Motors. We have janitors out at Lordstown making $70,000 a year. Does that really make sense?
Well, a lot of that's hard work, and a lot of that is that's not unskilled labor. Those people do. They are, you know, they do learn a skill as they work. That is.
We're not talking about skilled trade.
Well, that is a skill trade.
That being a janitor is not a skill trade.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But
so why am I paying you $70,000 a year?
Because
well,
you're making so much profit, Tracy, that you can afford
how many offices
to
you have to
pay.
But you have to know.
Well, the reason why they were able to get that wage is because the labor union was able to negotiate with the company to pay that wage.
So nowadays, why are they still paying $70,000 a year for people who are there? And don't get me wrong, I understand, I appreciate people who are janitors. But is that job really worth $70,000 a year?
Well, if you have I mean, if you have a wife and a family.
No, this ain't about your wife and your family. This is about the job that I'm paying you to do. This is not about what.
I mean, the janitor, that's considered as unskilled labor, you're right.
So why am I paying them $70,000 a year?
But that goes along with that, too. You have to, you might just not just do janitor work. You may have to do painting.
Steve, do you realize that there are places inside of the local union jobs that if I need a, there are companies that have unions. That if I want to put a photo or put a picture on the wall, nail a picture to the wall, I cannot put it up in my office. I've got to call somebody to get it done because the unions will come after me if I do it myself.
Yeah, right.
That's real.
You have to go through these labor unions are the ones that set these wages at these large corporations. But when you talk about retail, massive retail like Walmart and Target, they can't afford to pay all of their employees $10 an hour.
What?
They can't.
Walmart can't afford to pay.
No, because you're paying everything else. Remember, they're being competitive. Don't get me wrong.
Almost $1 trillion as a company.
No, they're not $1 trillion yet. But when you look at Walmart and look at the competitiveness of it, again, I said earlier, I am not a Walmart company. But my question is, how in the world do you – because remember, everything that comes in is a loss leader at times with Walmart. They get you on other stuff.
$10 not a lot of money, Miss Tracy.
Pardon me?
$10 an hour is not a lot of money.
Yes, it is. Multiply that by 1,400 employees in one store.
Yeah, that's right. In one store.
That's $1,400 an hour. Plus plus workman's compensation, plus insurances,
yeah,
plus lights, plus product.
Right. That's what most people only look at.
Insurance and all that stuff.
But most people only look at the wage, but it's the other.
Just
pay
them the wage.
Hold on, Steve. Hold on. What did you say, Philadelphia?
I said most people only look at the wage, but the other things that have to be paid are the payroll tax and the Social Security tax and the tax for Medicare. All that has to come out of your paycheck.
They don't look at all that.
Well, see, the thing about it is, Tracy, and if you've got an employee, you can plan on paying. If you're paying that employee $10 an hour, you can count on basically his salary is right at close to $21 just for that employee an hour. That's in what we call in fringe stuff, you know, Social Security and other benefits. So you've got a $10 an hour employee that essentially, after it's all said and done, you're paying them, you know, $21 an hour. That's when it's all said and done, and that's the kind of stuff that the news media and the labor unions don't want to show you. So you got a $23 an hour guy working for you that's costing you $50-something an hour to have that guy there. So guess what happens? You got to raise the cost of a car. you know. But here's the problem: we want Walmart to pay the wage, but we want Walmart to give us the lowest prices. Now there's only so much you can do as far as keeping the prices low and being able to, you know, to keep the wages where we want them at. So, you know, you gotta figure something out there.
So now my question, so the question that I have is, and this is where I started. Am I paying you for the job you do, or am I paying you for the job, the money that you want? Because that's the issue, because what they're saying is these people can pay more, yes, but your job does not warrant me paying more, because if I have you staring at a wall all day long and all I pay you is $10 an hour because that's the minimum wage, and you say you need $20 an hour to stare at this wall, why do I have to pay it even though your job is just staring at a wall? And don't tell me, well, it's hard work. Well, that's not the point.
The main thing is, when you're paying for unskilled labor, if you fire that person today, can you replace them with someone tomorrow? And the problem is, if these people are that expendable, the company is not going to want to pay you large sums of money, because they can easily have you replaced.
So the question is, do I have to pay you for what you for the job you do, or I have to pay you for how much you want to make?
Well, that's my question. How many people you know go into and quote unquote entry level, because that's what Walmart is. Most Walmart jobs are entry level positions. Entry level positions do not garner a higher wage.
That's what I'm saying. And so now they want to walk out tomorrow because they want more money, and they deserve more money. They don't want to pay for their benefits. They feel as though their benefits is, you know, they got benefits and they don't want to pay into them like they are. It's unskilled labor. So the question that I have is, when do I have to start paying you what you want instead of paying you what the job warrants?
Well, I think in the case of Walmart and Target, people are asking for the money that they want, but the job is not worth that. So therefore, the company has to pay massive amounts of people. If they had 1,000 people at one store that worked full time, they have to pay the wage on top of the other taxes that have to be paid, and that's too much money for the store to put out every week.
Well,
so,
Philadelphia, I'll give you a classic example of that that's going on right now. You've got the Hostess Company, the maker of Twinkies, Ho-Hos, and all the rest of them. What are they doing? They're saying, look, we can't pay your union wage. We can't do your union demands. Instead, we're going to go bankrupt and close the company now. Now, the union's upset with Hostess. How come they didn't get upset with GM? But that's a whole different show. This is what's happened. Now you got a company that's shutting down. There are no more Twinkies to be made at the current time. They were going. They went back into discussion. Trying to come to terms. They could not. So they shut down again. Everything's off. Hostess is closed.
That's a problem, isn't
it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, the main problem with that situation is they couldn't negotiate with the unions. So, therefore, the management said, well, we can't pay that amount of money, so they had to go to bankruptcy court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the union, instead of agreeing or instead of compromising, they said, we will not compromise. We'd rather lose our jobs than to compromise and come to an agreement with this company.
So
that makes no sense.
So that's what I'm saying. So
18,000
do you know what would happen if Walmart shut down in every city of the United States across this globe, and how many people it would impact? And if you think that each Walton family member who has a share inside of this company is worth $33 billion a year. That's what their assets are. So they really can walk away, say, kick rocks, and I'm moving on.
Yeah. Shut the door of every Walmart in every city and every town, and they would not be hurting for a thing.
Correct. So tell me, do we really want Walmart to shut down, or do we just want what Walmart's got?
What Walmart's got.
They just want, but if we want to solve the labor problems and the unemployment problems in the country, we have to deal with it at the public school level.
No, don't go that far. Don't go back that far. Just everybody right now looking at Walmart. They're going to walk out on tomorrow. Now, we know that we measure our Christmas, our holidays, and our employment and our spending by what's spent on Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yep.
Okay. If Walmart shuts its doors because Walmart goes on strike on Black Friday, how will that impact the American economy?
It will impact the American economy.
Yeah,
it's
definitely going to impact the economy because we have a consumer-based economy.
No, Steve. It won't help other stores.
It would help stores like Sears and Kmart.
Steve. It will help. It'll help other stores, but it will hurt the American economy. Because we've almost made Walmart too big to fail.
That's true.
If Walmart said tomorrow, if they walk out, we're going to shut our doors across this globe and move all of our stores overseas. Do you know how it would wreck the American economy?
It would make access to goods extremely difficult.
You do make a good point there, Ms. Tracy, because a lot of us do business at Walmart.
No, Walmart, we're not talking about the business that we do in Walmart. We're talking about Walmart being too big to fail.
They won't fail because they have too much access.
Well, Steve.
But here's the thing, Steve.
Look at the problem that they have.
They'll affect the employers, though.
You're not looking at this in a bigger picture, Steve, because remember, how many employees does Walmart actually employ across this nation?
Tracy, if you look at it, you look at it in a truer sense. If you got Walmart, you got you got Walmart retail. Then you got Walmart distribution. Then you got Walmart all the folks that drive for Walmart. Then you got all the folks that work for other companies that distribute products to Walmart. I mean, you're talking about taking Walmart's actual retail employees and multiplying that number by a factor of a good 7 or 8, and that's the true economic effect, because it's not just something that's going to affect Walmart proper. It's going to affect a whole lot of people.
Yeah, it's
correct.
So it's going to be like a domino effect. You know, it's going to have a domino effect on the economy.
Listen. Again, we've created this monster, and we don't want to call how big this monster is, but it's a monster. Look at the residual income that Walmart actually generates in every community. Even small cities want Walmart to come in and put a store in there because of the activity and the generation of monies that they make there.
A lot of taxes that goes into those areas.
It's more than taxes, Steve. You're looking at Walmart has put Hoover out of business. Mover moved to China because they could not compete.
Walmart has put a store like Heels out of business.
No. Steve, you're looking at conglomerates. Look at Hoover, who makes vacuum cleaners. Out of Hoover, Ohio.
Yeah,
they moved the whole company overseas because they could no longer manufacture their vacuum cleaners in the United States because of Walmart. Because Walmart actually dictates what it's going to pay for the cost and goods that they're going to sell.
Walmart's also put a lot of your small mom and pop stores out of business.
You're looking at this in a very, very small way. You got to understand the impact that it has had on manufacturing. Vlasic Pickles had to ship their product overseas to do the bottling for their pickles because of Walmart. Walmart has changed the framework of how we do business, and you're going to walk out on Walmart on Black Friday. How will that impact America if it's done?
Well, Ms. Tracy, it's the employees. They're saying, well, you know, Thanksgiving is a holiday, and we should be able to have that day off.
Huh? That's not what they're saying.
what they're saying is, I'm going to leverage the biggest day of the year so I can get you to pay me more money, so I'm going to hold you hostage. And if you don't do what I want you to do, we're going to walk out on you. And my question is, why do I have to pay you more for unskilled labor?
Right. That's the whole question.
That when anybody that works at Walmart is not totally unskilled, honestly.
But the majority of people who work at Walmart that who do and what I'm going to call I don't mean to minimize anybody's job, but we call it grunt work, which means they're doing the heavy lifting.
Well,
the heavy lifting is.
I just wanted to say that I'm a person who has worked in retail and fast food, and most of your jobs in fast food and retail, it is unskilled labor. And it's mostly being a stock person. In the case of fast food, all you're doing is just putting the food through an oven. So it's not, you know, it's no real skill involved. And most people who are teenagers could do it after the first or second day.
Not only that, when you look at – anytime that you're a cashier and you don't have to know how to count money back because it tells you exactly what to give back. And now that they've made the system automated, all you have to do is make sure people put their money in the machine, and they make sure they slide everything through the scanner now. So if they really wanted to go through a checkout, they could actually make it to where they don't even have cashiers but about two people watching a monitoring screen making sure people don't steal. Am I wrong?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And so now you're going to talk about walking out. Alex, your mic is on. And you're going to talk about walking out on Walmart on the biggest day, shopping day of the year. Is that okay? That's my question.
No, it's not okay. It's going to have a cascade effect. It's going to affect trucking. It's going to affect the distribution of the products to the different stores. It's going to affect the retail employees themselves. So it's going to have a cascade effect. And we have a consumer-based economy. So if we don't have people that are consuming products, then it's going to affect our bottom line.
Walmart has two million employees across the nation. It is the largest employer that is based on Fortune 500 companies. Now, if all these people walk out on Friday, how is that going to have a booming effect in the marketplace?
Yeah, it's definitely going to have an effect. Like we said, it's going to have a domino effect. But the main thing that needs to be addressed is, why do we have so many people that are dependent on these salaries? And the reason why is because we have a whole lot of people in the population who have no job skills. That's the problem. And the only way you can fix that is you have to do it at the public educational level, and you have to tell people, look, when you get to be a certain age, you need to think about when you're 18 years old, you can't go out into the job market with no skills.
But this is happening to you. What you're doing is you're telling me why, and I'm telling you, this is going to happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
This is day after tomorrow. They are promoting this.
Yeah, well, that's
and see, you're not going to change. You're not going to change the paradigm overnight.
I'm not saying it's changed overnight, but so, what I'm saying is that's obviously a wrong strategy that's being adopted by somebody who's a union leader or something like that that wants to unionize the Walmart workers. Whereas if they unionize them and they get a union wage, that's going to drive Walmart into bankruptcy, probably.
Now, here goes the next hour.
It won't drive Walmart into bankruptcy.
No.
It will cause prices to go up for us. Now, if you look at that, I want you to think about it. Every week, union member, or every pay period, union members pay a wage. Okay, they pay their union dues. Okay? You're talking about 2.5 million people, okay, and they're paying anywhere from $25 to $30 every pay period in order to be a member of the union. Do you know how much money
that would be to the union? That's $50 million every pay period from Walmart, from just from Walmart going into the union. Two pay periods a month, that's $100 million.
Now, hold on. Now, listen up. Now, I'm reading something here. Thousands of LAX workers, which is Los Angeles Airport, they're set to walk out on Thanksgiving Eve. They're going to go on strike. Employees at Los Angeles International Airport are considering plans on Friday to walk off their jobs, what is set for one of the busiest traveling days of the year. And a coalition of Southland employer labor and community leaders are calling the protest alleged violations of LAX contractor aviation safeguards. Now it's my understanding that we are just walking through a recession, coming out of a recession, coming out of some things. Or walking through some things. It tells me that right now I'm also reading where Hostess bankruptcy backs the AFL-CIO versus the SEIU. What's going on with Hostess has a lot to do with the unions there also and them walking out. Now, I'm just reporting as I'm reading it. And then they tell me that the SEIU is in solidarity with Walmart strikers.
Yeah. Because the SEIU is part of the labor union movement, which is more of a socialist movement, which is controlled by elements of organized crime.
So my question is, why are we walking to end it? I mean, if you look at how much these people are making, because we act like labor unions are not big business, because they are.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Do we not realize that?
Yeah, and also it's a lot of politics. They get involved in politics heavily. That's the reason why the northern states always vote Democratic, because the
South Carolina
dictates the vote.
And I haven't heard from Stanley. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You're talking $25 to $50 million a pay period.
Yes.
One company you know that produces that kind of revenue.
Not only do they produce it, and they produce no product.
And it's free.
Right,
it's free money.
No,
it's tax-free money. They don't have to pay
And it's going into the pockets of the union representatives, the people that are in the leadership positions
wages. Listen, before you go that far, Philadelphia, you're going too quick, too fast. Slow your road. They don't produce anything. They say that they are, but they don't redistribute that wealth. They don't pay taxes on that.
Right.
Exactly.
They don't have any overhead except for a building that they already own and their travel expenses of their employees and the people that navigate the business and to fund politicians and campaigns.
That's it.
Yeah. And you're watching this, and it's not like, you know, and they tell me, well, and I'm not talking about the builders unions. I'm talking about the SEIU. They manufacture what they call electioneering. But before we even go there, do we understand that we're allowing some of these monsters to become too big to where they can destroy the fabric of America if we're not careful?
Right. The SEIUs and organizations like Acorn, which combated loan companies that had made out risky loans to homeowners and so forth, these organizations have a socialist agenda.
We know, we understand what their agenda is. You've gone too deep. Do we understand the day after tomorrow how we are allowing these companies to get to the place where they can actually wreck our economies, driven by emotion?
Right.
See, you have to understand, they're not telling people to go to school, like you said. They're not telling them to go to school, get a job, get a better education, and advance from there. What they're saying is, this is your end-all, work for me forever, and pay your union dues.
Right. And those same union dues are going to go in the pockets of the leadership of the union.
But even I'm not mad at the man at the top, head of the till. I'm mad at how they're actually navigating and manipulating the people that are under them.
Right.
You gotta understand.
And Tracy.
Yeah.
And it's all, like you said, it's all on emotions. You hateful company, you don't want your family, your
your employees to be home with their families during Thanksgiving. That's mean, hateful, and nasty. Well, let us tell you what we're going to do. We're going to strike because you don't do what we want you to. You don't care about your workers. One freaking day out of the year. Come on, just a few hours. No, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that they're opening up on Thanksgiving.
Why?
They can do a little bit. But here's the thing. It's their prerogative. I wouldn't do it, but it's them. I've told them for it, trying to get ahead in business. Why can't you just pick Walmart? Old Navy's doing it. Barnes & Noble is doing it. Sears is doing it. JCPenney. Why Walmart? Because Walmart can help all of them.
This is nothing big. I mean, Best Buy. And you have a job. When you have a job, and you have not put yourself in position to where you can call your own shots, you're going to have to work and do some things that you don't necessarily want to do just because you didn't make plans for that. That's just true.
That's how it is.
Might not like it, but it's real.
If you don't own the business, you can't call the shots.
And why are we not telling, going back to what Philadelphia said earlier, we don't actually move our way to where we have independence for what I call the working poor, because anyone who is making less than $100,000 a year is working poor. You need to cut this out and think that if you make $40,000 a year that you're in the middle class, because you're not.
Yeah.
You are the working poor.
Also, you can make $100,000 a year, but if you don't have 6 months of your salary in a savings account, you are not in the middle class.
Now, I have a question, and maybe you guys can help me out. Is Walmart a union shop?
No, Walmart is not unionized on the retail level.
Why not? They're not.
No.
So why is the SEIU now moving in to help them out?
Because they're trying to get them unionized.
It's called money.
Oh
yeah.
Because when you got 2 million employees, if you can get $39 a month from them, that's a lot of cash, ain't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of cash. Yeah.
That's almost $500 million a year.
Yeah.
More.
It'll be apparently the first ever in the United States Walmart workers struck in dozens of stores around the country and protest. This is October 9th.
They can go ahead and strike Walmart. I think there are plenty of people out there, I believe, that would gladly take their jobs.
Yeah.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Most people who work there are hired off the street. So that's the reason why the managers probably treat the employees bad, because they can replace you tomorrow.
Hold on a second,
Philadelphia. Here's the problem that I run into. I hear about that and about how bad management treats employees. I'm in management, and I know how sometimes employees can what they can do and how they can act. If you do something that you're not supposed to do, and I write you up, I give you a consequence because of that. Is it management being bad, or is it management doing their job? You can't get mad at management for doing their job. That's it.
Well, as long as
it's not violating your rights or anything, you're fine. You're just being rebellious. That's all there is to it.
I can't say for every situation, but they're not going to show a great deal of respect to somebody they hired right off the street because they didn't go through.
That's not necessarily true. That says that all management is elitist. And you can't, if you look at it that way, then all business owners and business people are elitists.
Well, you know, the respect level they have for the employee is based on the years of experience they have in their profession and what their skill level is. So if you have an employee with a high skill level and they have years of experience, they're going to garner more respect from a manager than somebody that has no experience and was hired the day before yesterday.
I don't know if you use the right term when you say respect. I mean, I would say they would garner more I don't know. They would have more pull, I would say. But I wouldn't say they would have more respect, because the level of respect is kind of governed by the kind of, I want to think that the kind of respect you give is the kind of respect you get, you know? And my thing is, I'm not going to be too happy with an employee that I've got to go and tell, hey, listen, you know, you need to do this on your job. And then I come back 20 or 30 minutes later and that is not done, and I see him standing around jawjacking. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit upset. That's not a person that's going to be high up on my radar as far as wanting to give them a promotion or give them a raise.
But
you know what I mean?
But as a manager, don't you think that sometimes some managers forget about the creativity of the employee? Because I truly feel there's been a shift. Perfect example, IBM. IBM used to have a philosophy: treat your employee well and your client will come. They used to have that philosophy, and they would treat your employee like gold. And when you were working for IBM, you were proud of working for IBM first because you felt like you were a human being. You were respected. You were many things. And even as a manager, employees would put a grade on you. Now they don't have that philosophy. Now IBM has the philosophy of profit, has the philosophy of we don't care about employees. We only care about shareholders. We care about this. And employees, we could fire them. We just have to give you a little contract of 2 years. And that's it. And after 2 years, we just fire you for any reason. We rehire new people for 2 years.
But Stanley, here's the thing about that, Stanley. If you put your situation, if you put yourself in a situation where you can only get a 2-year contract, or you sign a 2-year contract, and at the end of that 2-year contract, they let you go, then guess what? Then IBM has done everything that they contractually agreed to do. You're done. That's it. You're done. You have no reason to be upset with the company at that point.
But
they didn't do anything wrong.
I know, but don't you think as a manager, something changed? There used to be a loyalty. You can't tell me nothing changed. There used to be a loyalty. There used to be when you were work for a corporation.
Stanley.
There used to be a thing that bosses said. Basically, there used to be a philosophy, employees are important, I will treat them good. There used to be this.
Stanley,
I'm sorry.
You know what,
I'm going to
what changed?
They even tell me. Back in the day, we didn't have that. We didn't have
Stanley,
the philosophy that we have. We didn't have
Stanley,
the attitude of greediness
hey,
that Stanley, we have now. We
Stanley,
didn't.
What changed was lawyers got into it. What changed was I have my rights. I have my rights as an employee. And as an employer, they've essentially taken all the rights away from the employer, because the lawyers are out there saying, okay, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, number one, either we're going to strike, or number two, we're going to sue you, okay? And there's not too many companies that's willing to plot down a cool million for a retainer for a lawyer in order to fight a frivolous lawsuit, you know?
Can't afford it.
They can't afford
it.
That's what changed. It's
more than the lawyers, the whole philosophy. It's like, you, even if you pay your employees whatever money, it's not because you pay somebody that you have their heart, you have their ambition, you have their creativity. And a lot of manager bosses forget about that. Because, like I said to Tracy again, if it wasn't for your employee, you wouldn't have your company. And a lot of bosses, when you confront them with that, that's the truth. You want
if it wasn't for the company...
treat your employees like you would treat your client.
But again, Stanley, I don't have to pay you. I don't have to pay you $70,000 because that's what you need. Because the person that is working across the hall from you is making $65,000 who has a skill. And again, you have companies that are paying anywhere up. Even if you're paying them $60,000 a year, is that not a lot for a person who empties the trash can? And mops the floor. And just so that we know, Bill, who's my sidekick producer, he did set me straight. Walmart does have some unionized SEI unions inside of their stores, but they want all of them. Just so that you know. Bill, is that you?
That's a big thing, and that's what.
Yeah, it's me. I'm it's funny. I was looking at the LAX, what is it, strike they're doing out there, shutting down an airport, one of the busiest days in the in the travel period. And quite frankly, I hate to sound selfish. I've owned businesses. I've had to pay payrolls. I've had to, you know, do, and I've dealt with that. I went home with dimes in my pocket and everybody going home with $100 bills and out of a business. And for me, I don't think it's fair that you come in one day and you agree to a certain amount of money, it be it $10, $12 an hour, and you work there, and all of a sudden, just because you've been there a certain amount of time, even though I'm not making any money, you feel like you're entitled to more money. I just think that that attitude is going to destroy this. And that's why I'm all for seceding from the union, because there's too many people that think that they are entitled to something. It, look, it's America. Everybody, you can never have enough spending money. Everybody can always find another reason why they feel like they should have more money. But everybody doesn't have the skills to warrant the salary that a lot of people make. But if you're getting it good, I'm happy for you if you can make $30 an hour with a high school diploma. But I don't feel like you should be, you know, twist the company like Hostess. I was glad the guy shut down. Good for him. Because you're not entitled to that. Them folks ain't going business to give you money. They went in business to make money. About, you have gotten everything you are owed once they pay you your paycheck. They don't owe you anything else. Back in the day, you had people working 80 hours a week, dying on these job sites, and you needed unions. But nowadays, these unions are choking the American businesses out of existence. This ain't the time, man. You know, when the unemployment was 3.8%, okay, maybe you could have tried these little stupid games. Man, folks, this is the worst time to be up here talking about going on strike. You know, I would have fired every day. Let me tell you something. I couldn't be a CEO. You always get fired. I wouldn't care if none of y'all call me racist. Call me what you want. Call me Uncle Tom. I fire each and every last one of you that I start hiring. And I guarantee you it'll be a line around the corner for people that want to work, that know I'm coming in the door. We're not going to get a raise. We're not going to get unless certain criteria are met. And if those criteria aren't met, you ain't entitled to the all this paid leave and all this stuff. Man, go look, if you want all that, go back, get you a better education, better yourself, because guess what? Napoleon Hill had a point. He said that a lot of these companies pay people, like Walmart pays people good money, but these people have skills and talent to warrant that type. If you come out of high school and you think you are warranted $90,000, six-figure salary, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but there used to be a plan also that if you wanted the six-figure salary, you would tell the boss, okay, let me go get the education that you're telling me, and you would go get the education, and then you would go back to your boss, I got the education, you don't have the six-figure salary. Sorry, sir, we can't pay you the six-figure salary. Sorry, sir, we can't pay you. Even though you went to get the education.
But you can't come
with that plan of telling me, go get the education. I've known many people who had the education, and they've come to their boss, the sacrifice that you're talking about.
Everybody you just said, if they got it, then that means they can go anywhere. You don't quit and go find you another job then.
I've had some jobs where I have been let go. Just based on they decided, you know, it was their right and they could let you go, and there was no investigation. And don't get me wrong, there is a place for organized labor. I am not going to say that there is not a place for it. But what I am saying is, what we have today is not organized labor, but what it is is a corporation of greed that we're not paying attention to.
People are being greedy. You're talking about an CEO. The people on the top are being so greedy, and you're saying, "Oh,
family."
What I'm saying is,
there needs to be a balance when it comes to labor and management and administrative. Don't get me wrong. You should never abuse your employees, but what they are seeking right now is just more money, leverage, and the SEIU, the unions, are manipulating the situation because, as was said earlier, they want all of of all the employees of Walmart to become unionized. Because if you take 2 million people and add $50 a month to your add that union dues, add up the cost of what you'll be taking in as a union that is unaccountable.
Right. Also, I just want to make the statement, if you talk to a career counselor, you look at a resume, they'll tell you after someone has been out of school 5 years, the most emphasized thing on the resume is the experience. The experience comes before like a person will look at their education. So when it comes to salary, your salary is going to be based on your job performance that you had at your previous job and also on your years of experience.
When I walk into a Walmart, Walmart does not ask me for a resume and look at my work experience at lower level. Now, if I'm trying to become a manager, that's something different. But then when you look at management usually is never organized labor anyhow. They get screwed no matter what.
Right.
So when you're looking at regular people who are working whether they stock the shelves, whether they do any of that. Those persons are looking, you should treat them fairly. You should make sure that they have help, because of the heavy lifting that they're doing. You need to make sure that they have weight belts and all that kind of stuff and take care of their employees. But, then I'll let you go. But what I'm saying is, but do I owe you $20 an hour because that's what you need? Absolutely not. And I don't care how many kids you have at home. As an employer, that's not my positioning. Nor am I paying you for what your needs are in your personal life. I'm paying for what my needs are inside of my corporate life. And I need you to stock the shelves. And it pays $15 an hour, and that's all you get.
Right. I just wanted to, make the statement. Somebody made a statement. They knew a lot of people who had been to college, and they had been out in the workforce, and they still weren't making a certain salary. It's because what you have to ask, what was their performance like on the job that they just left? And were they promoted after 1 year to a higher position? That's what a new employer is going to look at in terms of what salary or what position am I going to give this person based on what's on their resume. They don't go by how well the person did in college or what degree they have after they've been out of school a while.
Well, actually, if you want to find out how people get hired today, you'll find out because you'll see most people get hired now by somebody referred them to a job.
Right, yeah.
It ain't about what you know and what college you went to. It's who you know and how you can get access to wherever you're going. Now, that's the truth there.
Right.
But when I look at Walmart,
word of mouth. It's word of mouth.
But again, it ain't even word of mouth. It's about who you know and what you know.
Right.
Not about what you know and who you don't know.
Philadelphia. It's a personal network, too.
But again, Philadelphia, we don't network. But what I'm looking at, do you understand that what's going on here, people are being manipulated by organizations. And the unions are becoming very, very savvy at manipulation. Are we not paying attention to that?
Not only did they
manipulate an election, they're manipulating people to walk out on a job. That look at Hostess. Hostess, they're telling them they can't pay you anymore. They go back in the negotiation. They come back out. They try to get them to do it again. They say, well, this is not going to work, and we're just going to shut down. Do you understand people are losing jobs? Right now, we're not in the situation for the economy to be in the position of losing complete companies anymore. And the Waltons can go, they can walk away tomorrow and say, you know what, we don't want to play no more, and walk away with $33 billion in each family member.
But Tracy, you know what, though, there's something that kind of dawned on me last night. The liberal mindset is a mindset of, I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you lose. And in life, if you look around, we learn by falling. We learn how to walk. We learn how to ride bikes. We learn everything by failure. A lot of times, that failure that liberals try to protect people from, or that quote-unquote safety net, it has the reverse effect in that you stop learning and growing as an individual.
getting out of high school and getting a job, making, look, I'm happy for you. And if I would have did it out of high school, I'd have did the same thing. But when a company shuts down, I feel like that fail falling on your face and saying, let me go get another trade or skill to make sure that I'm more marketable, that has to happen. That's a natural part of life. And if it doesn't, if it isn't allowed to happen, you really do that person a disservice by trying to just provide them with, you know, let's just try to twist the company's arm to make them stay there.
So let me ask this. Now I look at I look at the Carpenters Union and the plumbers and pipe fitters and all these. They have union houses where they actually teach skill trade. They make it to where you can actually build on your trade of what you're doing. Now that's what these. Because remember, that's skill trade. And that's why hasn't the SEIU done that for their membership, or do they do that that I just don't know about?
The Service Employees International Union. These individuals perform services.
Okay.
They're not manufacturers, I don't think.
Okay. We understand it's a difference. My question is, why don't they do that?
Well, there's only a certain point you can get to when you're trying to provide a service. I mean, either you provide it proficiently or not.
No. So why don't they give them with the dues that they pay? Because remember, the dude comes out no matter what. So why don't
they
and take those employees and give them more skills so that when they go back to their employer, not only are they making their business better, but they can go back with a negotiation saying, my body now.
But then they don't need the union.
But hold on, though. Don't you think that if a person gets a certain skill set, the mark of a true skill is that you can go anywhere and get a job. Your skills are in demand.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're a salesman at JCPenney's. If you sell men's suits, if you have personality, you connect well with people, you go to a commission-based industry, you can jump right into the insurance industry and do well because you have a certain amount of skills and talent. That's the real deciding factor on success or failure, not the union. The union is only going to go and twist that company to a point where if the company can afford it, yeah, but if not, then you're gonna have another hostage situation.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
Go ahead,
Stanley.
But don't you think you're saying the union is there to twist the person and squeeze them? But don't you think that sometimes there's abuse? That sometimes you need the union to basically sit to your boss. You can't fire this guy because you don't like him. You can't fire this guy.
Why not?
Like
let me tell you
why
what I did. I was a produce manager at a Winn-Dixie store. The guy didn't like me. Look, man, I'm going to say the guy was racist. Little young 23-year-old white kid was over me. I told him, I said, when I got the job, I said, I want to work on Sunday. I want to be off on Sundays to go to church. I went 5.5 months, never got a Sunday off. He would come in there on Sunday in street clothes and crack jokes and leave. I wanted to slap him up under one of those things, but I had to be professional. But I did what I did long enough, got my talent. I was doing something else on the side. And then when the day came, I told him where to go. I mean, you have to. That's life. I'm sure we've all had little penny menial jobs. And let's be honest, if you expect to raise a family on $8 an hour, then you know what I'm saying? I mean, those jobs aren't meant for that. To be quite honest, they're not supposed to be able to sustain you off $300 a week. You just can't do that. You got to think. You got to think. I got to do something different.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
but by the same token, I agree with you with the $8. But if we're talking about basically, let's say you're doing $60,000 or $70,000, and you depend on that money, and somebody doesn't like you, or some other reason they decide to fire your ass for no reason, you gotta have to.
And that's the purpose
yourself.
Of the union.
But
Stanley,
do they deserve $60,000 or $70,000? Do they deserve
Hold
it?
On.
Do they have the skills to be able to make that anywhere in the world? You should be able to do that. If you can't, then you overpaid anyway.
Right now,
hey guys,
right now,
Alex, your mic is on.
If somebody's a skilled laborer and they're making $70,000 a year,
that's not skilled labor. That's not skilled labor. Skilled labor is not skilled labor. That's something different. Skilled labor is different. You got a skill that I got to have. So you
right,
sit around
yeah.
all day long until I call you on the radio and tell you to show up. That's something different. But we're talking about people that
right.
just walk in. They're part of a service. We're not talking about nurses.
Right.
That's something different. I'll be right back.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Okay. But that's the thing, because I feel that that's the thing union are. They're there to stop the boss thinking that they have the power trip. They, I'll fire him. And a lot of people think
but
that
the main purpose of the
exactly what's being done to people. What's being done to people that's so evil besides paying them for what they when they come to work.
When a lot of people have the mentality like back in the day that I'm going to stay 20 years. I've done the work that I want to. I've done the degree. Let's be real. If you're going to say that people don't live with security in their lives, you're losing something. A lot of people live with security in their life. A lot of people believe that if I work when I need to, if I work hard in a company and everything, and I do what I need to do, I'll get 30 years or whatever. It depends on that money to pay the rent, to pay whatever they have to. Take out that money from them, they're done. They're done. You destroy many people with that. When you laid out 2,500 people, you're destroying 2,500 lives.
Yeah, but the thing is, the company is in the business of making a profit. They can't make a profit if they overpay unskilled workers. And the purpose of the profit is so that the company can continue to exist. They can buy the supplies. They need the supplies. They can expand their corporation so they can hire more people.
Really? Look at the owners of Walmart. Each one of them is worth $33 billion. $33 billion.
Really? So? That's their money. Why are you counting what they got? You covered in what they have, family.
So you see, it's perfectly normal somebody's worth $33 billion. Perfectly normal. Really?
Your logic is off because you already off the top upset because they got billions of dollars. They own Walmart.
Yeah.
What you expect them to be worth? $10? Mm-hmm. Hey, they own Walmart.
Human being
the person has the vision to put something like that together and they accumulate money as a result, that's to their benefit.
Hey, Tracy, can you hear me?
So let me get this straight. Everybody's happy with $33 billion, and another person that's working hard is worth not even $5.
Hey, what? What'd you say, Stanley?
Well, you know, first of all, everybody can't be the top dog. Everybody can't be a CEO. Everybody does not have the skill set to be a CEO. So therefore, you automatically expect if a person is at the top of that organization, then they have talents and they have abilities which far surpass people that are at the lower end.
Not even that, Philly. A lot of those folks, their grandfather, Sam Walton, would have been worth over a couple of $100 billion a day, but you got a lot of his kids that are left over, and if I was that, I would do the same for my kids. And Stanley would do the same for his kids, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with them people making billions of dollars.
Right. No, it's not. But also, people that are in the job market have to look at it like a football team. Everybody on the football team is not going to be the quarterback. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a role to play. And based on their performance is how they're going to get paid. So therefore, if you have a football player that's not doing his job, he's going to get cut off the team, and his salary is going to be reduced.
Okay, wait a minute.
Hang on a second. Stanley, I haven't said anything. Let me show you this little analogy. Just right. Marine Corps, okay? When I went in the Marine Corps, I went in as an E-2, all right? I got promoted based on my performance, my job, okay? All the way up to E5. Okay.
You're hello? Cutting. Go ahead.
Your phone breaking up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But here's the thing that you run into. If I had not done my job, if I had not done what I was supposed to do and taken the initiative and doing what I was supposed to do, there was a great chance that, number one, I would be demoted from the previous rank or even you know, lost pay and so on and so forth. I know that's the military, but that's how it works in life. You know, just because you get a salary, that don't mean you're going to keep it. And a business, unless you have a written contract, is under no obligation to hold on to an employee. That's just it.
But do you understand that people live with security instead of freedom? You're saying
that the business is responsible for that individual.
The business is not responsible for that individual. How people are, because when you come to people and say you go to any company and go to any person who's worth $60,000-$70,000 and say tomorrow you lose your job, what do you do? They'll go crazy. They'll tell you.
I was just told that
2 weeks ago. I didn't lose my mind because I saved my money. I budget.
Yeah.
I plan for stuff like this.
A lot of people would.
But,
if you're acting like it doesn't affect people, it does. It does.
Well, it does affect people, but the situation is this. You are in a competitive society. Everybody is not going to be at the top. So therefore, you have to get what you can get out of this economy while you still are young and you are still of working age, and you have to work according to your abilities. So you know, the company cannot pay you a salary and you're not doing the work to deserve it. So, you know, if you need to make more money, then you need to leave that and find some other skill that will allow you to command more money.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't act like CEOs are the best thing in there. Perfect example, the CEO of Lehman Brothers, the fifth bank in the world. You think people were not shocked when they heard how much he got? He's the one
But also the CEO is responsible for the bottom line in terms of how the company performs on
the
stock market.
But Philly, hold on.
Hey, guys, you know what happens when you talk on top of each other? No one hears any of you. I didn't know if you knew that.
But can I add something, Tracy? The thing is with CEOs and people that run these Fortune 500 companies, these people, if you run their background, all of them are Ivy League people, are Rhodes Scholars. These people, it's two different types of people. There's people that went to the regular universities, like myself, and there are people that went to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell. These are the CEOs. That's why those people are where they are. Do I think they're smarter?
Alabama, I have to say, most of the people who are running those corporations right now are there. But most of the people who start those corporations, like Sam Walton, they may or may not have a high school diploma.
Yeah.
You're right.
Let me finish this, and then I want to pull up a new call that just came in because I don't know who it is. We need to also understand that we can't hate capitalism, but what we can do is become capitalist. And that's something that is not taught in the American school system anymore. What we need
Amen.
To do, if I don't like what's going on there, then I need to create my own. But the hard work, dedication, and time and sacrifice that I have to put in can be overwhelming. That's what makes entrepreneurship.
Yeah, right.
Hold on. 407, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing? This is Alex.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Good. I was trying to call you from my other number, but we on the road to Mississippi right now for Thanksgiving. Me and Amy,
why ain't y'all on the road to Ohio?
You know, not this year. Not this year. I wish we were, but, you know, it's all right.
I thought you liked the pool I put up with your name in it, Alex. What's up, man? I tried to tag you this morning.
Alex,
there's
a lot. Are we on speakerphone? I hope it's not that cheap when I got you for Christmas.
You say what?
Because we can't hear you. There's a lot of blowback.
Can you hear me?
Can you
hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't hear what you said either. So,
Alabama asked you a question. What was that, Alabama?
I tagged him with Ron Paul about the secession thing and what Ron Paul thought about it. And I know Ron Paul, that's his boy, so I just tagged him just to mess with him this morning. That's all.
Hey, secession is a good thing, you know.
Amen.
So what do you think about what we're talking about, y'all? You ain't going there. Alex, what do you have to say about all this? I haven't heard from you yet today.
Well,
I personally think that I think we're kind of missing the point. I mean, there's something deeply wrong with America, you know?
No.
Because, I mean, like, if you look at the corporations, they're the ones that, you know, they have a lot of control, and they shouldn't be forced to pay, you know, what just whatever people want, you know, want to be paid. But at the same time, you know, people are struggling, you know, and people will just take a job, you know, any job. And that's why people are working at Walmart. Don't nobody want to work at Walmart, you know. But what I think we're missing, though, because I think what y'all was talking about was that, they lack the training, so you can't expect to be paid more without training. Well, you got to understand that this is happening across the board, even with trained professionals. I mean, I see it even in my line of work in engineering and with different scientists. Like, the tools are getting more and more automated. And so even for skilled engineers and things, they're becoming more and more disposable. And there's a lot of engineers having, highly trained, professionals having a difficult time finding employment or keeping, gainful employment with a company, you know. And so what is the problem? You know, I think it's education. It's the education of the people about money. And, you know, people aren't. This society is not educating people about money. It's almost like they're training slaves.
Who's got the noise? Go ahead, Alice. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you, but it's tough.
Oh, I guess because I'm riding. It just seems like, you know, we're breeding slaves in society, you know,
exactly.
because the education doesn't train people on about what money is and what to do with their money. You know, it just trains people to get into debt and just work for more money, and it's actually training people to not be accountable for themselves, that somebody else is going to be accountable for them. And it's a huge problem, but it's not just with untrained workers, because even people, I mean, I know people that make $150,000 a year and have the same problems that people that make $30,000 a year do, and they're living paycheck to paycheck.
You know what, though, Alex, I've got family members just like that, and I've been like that before, and I had to go broke and find out, man, you know, I need to start learning and studying money so that I could, you know, and I still don't have it down, but I'm just saying this to say that you're right. And I feel like if you get a job and you make $50,000-$60,000 for 3 years and all of a sudden you get laid off, you shouldn't panic. Because if you budget for that and you budget, then you should be able to, you know, be able to make it through that rough patch until you can either get somewhere else or you can set something else up to replace that income. Because it's going to get rougher, I think, just because of the we're going to lose a lot of these industrial age jobs that we've had in America. They're going to go, and it's not coming back.
But listen to what I said earlier. This is my issue. Too big to fail. We've allowed our system to get too big to fail. We have unions that are now monopolizing and taking advantage of people. We have corporations who are now monopolizing the system, and we've made them too big to fail, because right now we could not afford for a Walmart. We'd have to bail Walmart out, just like General Motors, if they decided to go belly up.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Alex?
Alex, I want to get your opinion on this. I feel like it's good that these companies, if it happens, then it's just like in nature when an animal dies and becomes fertilizer for plants. You have to allow that to, it's the natural progression of trying to prop a company up. We bailed out, who was it, way back, Chrysler, way back, and now here we are back to the same thing. So it's right. Kind of like we're going to have to, these companies should have been, just like Pan Am when it went under, all these, I think it's good because guess what, we got ValueJet, we got Southwest. It's a void that needs to be filled in the market. That's true capitalism. We can't keep pumping funds into these places, holding them up. GM is going to get in trouble again. They're losing money right now.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. I think, go ahead, Alex, and then I'll pick you up, Stanley. Go ahead, Alex.
I was just agreeing with him. He's absolutely right, but about GM. I'm always for, let them go under. I don't think Walmart will ever go under.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, look how
Walmart
big.
Walmart has managed very well, in terms of what the Western ideals of a business system, how it's supposed to look. They're set up just like, very similar to like McDonald's. They're a very efficient business system. And that's really what, that's the ideal model for American business, where you don't have to have skilled workers. You can, you walk into a McDonald's and many Walmarts, most of the staff is high school students a lot of times, especially McDonald's. And that's an efficient business. And you shouldn't punish companies for having efficient businesses, because that's the whole purpose. So for a business continuation, so for perpetuity, in case anything happens, it may sound callous and inhumane, but if somebody dies or gets sick, somebody can easily step in and fill that role, and the business keeps going without missing a beat. And that's we shouldn't punish that, so it's a good thing. And that's why I don't think it's a healthy discussion to talk about about either side, about what the corporations should do or what employees should demand, is I don't think it really solves the problem. It doesn't, it's
but
not
it,
going
to. But you have to realize, if you look at, Alex, you're right, it doesn't solve the problem, but look at what's being talked about. I don't see this being the headline news about what's going on with Walmart and them thinking about walking out. I don't hear about them trying to change the mindset of people to where they begin to find out how can they become their own corporation or their own business. I don't see people telling, because if you don't tell people, don't always depend upon Walmart and Kmart to be there to meet your needs, because you're going to have to work on Thanksgiving. I don't understand how we're not having this conversation and we're not talking about manipulation of unions and of big business, because they're manipulating people into a place where they're not going to be able to survive.
Well, also, if you work on a holiday, the person's supposed to get overtime pay.
No, you're not supposed to get it. That's a negotiated rate. You don't get time
right.
and a half just because you work on that day. That's the day you're scheduled to work.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is, if they work on the holiday, then they do get time and a half.
But that's not written in stone. That's a negotiated rate. You don't
right,
just
yeah.
get you don't get an extra money because you show up on a holiday.
No, I'm not saying you automatically get it. I'm saying that that's one of the perks of working on a holiday.
No, it's not. It's not a perk of working on the holiday.
Yeah,
because
not everybody gets it. Yeah,
everybody
doesn't get that. I mean, that's some states will require it, but that's not a, some people is just paid whatever your hourly wage is, and that's it. I mean, some companies don't be considered a salary, because the first 5 hours after 40, you're not paid anything. You're not paid overtime until you hit 46 hours. It just depends on where you are,
In the state of South Carolina, you have to work anything over 40 is time and a half. Anything over 48 is double time.
And that's anything, am I correct?
Yeah,
you're
any,
not,
any hour. Yeah, we're a non-union state, so.
Well, see,
you can also be fired at will, too.
It's probably somewhat different.
Say that again, South Carolina.
You can also be fired at will, too.
That's true, too.
Yeah, Florida's the same way because when I worked for Lockheed Martin, it was anything between 40 and 45 hours. You weren't paid anything. You just worked more.
Straight pay.
And they expect, well, no, you weren't even given straight pay. You only paid for 40 hours, up to 45 hours, and only after 46 were you paid. And it was only straight time, and I think it had to be over like 50 that it started to go to time and a half or whatever it is.
But isn't that for people that make over $28 an hour? That's just like a cutoff. In IT, it's the same way. You can come in and you can do 50, 60 hours, and they'll pay you your flat rate. But when you make under $28.50, I know it's like that in Alabama. If you make under $28.50, they got to give you time and a half.
And it all depends on the state, because every state has different laws, depending on the state that you're in.
Yeah.
But you know what? Part of the reason GM was where they were, was messed up, was because of basically pensions.
Absolutely.
To the employees, and that's what they were talking about with Romney, was saying if they went through regular bankruptcy, then they could have been able to really renegotiate. But when the union got involved with the presidential run in 08, it was like, look, you know, you got, once you get in, help us out. And they got in, and that's what happened. It got turned on its ear, and a lot of people kept their union. They kept their pensions, but they're still heavy. They're still losing money because it really wasn't a real, you know, it didn't address the problem.
Yeah, GM's going to go
Throwing money at it isn't addressing the problem. Even though the demand for the GM cars is higher than it used to be, they're making better cars. They haven't addressed the fact, you know, if you add everything up, the average worker's making $70,000 to $80,000. You know, I mean, it's still the same problem. I mean, that was just, they should have went under. That's what should have happened.
Well, see, they didn't. They should not have gone under. They should have gone through a reorganization like everyone else. But what they went through a managed bankruptcy that was navigated by the President of the United States, and it was bailed out. But what they did was they took off the heavyweight of their retirees, but they didn't change the structure of their company and how they do business. And so what happened was people thought that they didn't go bankrupt because they didn't get a day off from work. But what they went through a managed bankruptcy that was managed by the United States government and a bailout that was bailed out by the United States citizenry. And people
saved their pensions.
Pensions, people that were on long-term pension went over to the guarantee fund of the federal government. Because remember, they saved the union because they did not pay out the shareholders as it should have been. They put the unions above the shareholders.
Oh, yeah, they did get messed up on that.
And so the unions were taken care of, but the shareholders were, and their benefits, the retirees had to go and pay for their supplemental benefits that was usually taken care of by General Motors. And then their pensions went to the Federal Guarantee Fund.
But I think the problem we have when a situation gets like that is that emotions got involved, basically. It sounds like that's what you're saying. Emotions, people started feeling sorry for a certain group, and the other group got shafted. Let's be honest, though, Tracy. When someone, you sit up here and say that the union was placed in front of, who wants to feel sorry for a shareholder?
No, because remember, a lot of people that were working for General Motors had General Motors shares. The Gray Mother was never supposed to go down. That was a blue-chip stock. You never thought General Motors would go under, so you had everyday people who got shafted. And the retirements got shafted because they put the unions above the shareholders.
So you mean to tell me these people had their whole entire retirement based off of GM stock?
Absolutely.
It wasn't diverse.
No, because remember, it was
usually based off of mutual funds are based off a bunch of
Bill. Now, there were some people that had mutual funds that had it, but you got to realize, an everyday General Motors worker, when they got when they had the opportunity to buy General Motors stock, they bought stock in it because they worked there. And General Motors was a blue-chip stock. It was never supposed to go under.
Mm-hmm.
And so people even got their raises and they got them in stock options instead of in cash. And they allowed all that to fail. And a lot of people never thought they would go under. And they put the unions before they put the shareholders. So people are still now trying to recoup their losses of their retirement and their 401K. That all went under.
I got a doctor friend lost six figures fooling around with all these, with a lot of that stuff when the market fell apart in '08.
And people didn't know what to do with their money. But they, what they did was they took the heaviness off of, but they didn't restructure their organization. And remember, they fired the CEO. That was President Obama's doing. And so when the election time came around, they came around and said they saved General Motors, not saying that General Motors is still in trouble. Because General Motors is still in trouble.
I mean, they're losing like $35,000, $40,000 for every vote. They're spending $70,000 and selling it for $40,000 or something like that, right?
But they're not telling the truth. Remember, during the election, they didn't tell the truth about what's really going on in General Motors. They made you think that General Motors was flying high and back on its way to being a blue chip stock again, and it's not.
Is there any part of it? That's the thing I struggle with, you know, and I've been kind of looking at the Constitution lately, but I just feel like the very essence of government, you know, and that's why I kind of like Ron Paul, because the very essence of government, he's talking about defense. He's saying, hey, I have a strong defense, but not to the point where we're policing the world, but let's make sure that when it's time, we're strong and ready. But at the same time, a lot of this government spending going into like stuff like this bailout, stuff like that, it's kind of had a ripple effect. It's kind of come back on us, ripple effect, to where now it's kind of...
It's because nobody's telling the truth.
We got our hands in the lion's mouth right now. I mean, you know, you can say it's easy, let's just stop it. But I mean, with the media being like it is right now, if Ron Paul had gotten elected, he'd have been shot. I mean, it's just no way you could do all this stuff and fix it like it needs to be fixed. And anybody with a brain can see you got to cut all this stuff out.
But our problem is nobody wants to be honest with the American electorate. And when you try to be honest, they come back with a lie that sounds better than the truth. So we would rather have a lie than have the truth. Right now, America is very, very vulnerable on many, many fronts, militarily as well as the economy. And they have been so disingenuous that we really don't understand. That's why the president turned gray in 3 years.
Well, I mean, it could also be some people just gray naturally. It has nothing to do with
No,
stress.
baby, uh-uh. I'm telling you. President Obama, there's a reason
Every president grays. Every one of them.
There's a reason why you walk into that office and your hair turns gray.
No,
Bill Clinton
grayed.
He was only 43 when he got out. Bill Clinton was white.
That's what I'm saying. No, this is not a natural succession. There is more going on in the federal government and going on with Americans than meets the eye, and they are so disingenuous. They lie to the American electorate and the media. The media propagates more lies than it tells truth, and people have
idea. We'll come out better dealing with the Federal Reserve. If we dealt with that issue and started backing out dollars, just on that alone, gas prices will go down. Really, gas really might not have went up. It's just that the dollar got so weak. We got to have $4 to get a gallon of gas. There's just no other way to – just if we back our dollar alone, that'll fix probably 60% of the problem they're facing.
But the problem with backing the dollar alone, like you're saying with the gold standard, is that the problem is there's invention, there's stuff that we need money right now. If you back with the gold standard, like you're saying, what happens?
I'm not saying I wasn't saying that. I was saying back the dollar. I didn't say it could be silver, gold, oil. I'm just saying back
the dollar.
But what's happened is the dollar has lost value.
Whoa, Philadelphia. Let Stanley finish. What did you say, Stanley?
The dollar that we have was backed up by gold. The only reason that Nixon took it out was basically he needed money now to basically pay for the Vietnam War. And for other things. And when that happened, that opened the whole door of different things. And we were never going to come back with that. Because if you back down the dollar now, a lot of invention, a lot of money that we need right now, companies right now, would not have the money.
People like illusions. People like Stanley, like the basic, like the typical American, you know, they love illusions because when Nixon took the backing away from the dollar, the gold backing from the dollar,
you know, people think, well, yeah, this gave them more money to spend. No, it didn't. If you look at between 1970 to 79, the U.S. dollar lost two-thirds of its purchasing power, which means between 1970 and 79, the dollar was only worth 34 cents of what it could buy in 1970 by the time it reached 1979. So, yeah, right then when you removed the backing, yeah, I just printed all this money, but and you were able to buy some stuff, but that's because the effect of it didn't go through yet. But then by 1979, that same dollar could only buy 34 cents worth of goods. And so if you keep going down this road, well, gone down it so far, the dollar is only worth less than 4 cents of what it used to be worth. And people think that they can keep doing this. But the only thing that's saving us is that the rest of the world holds it as the world reserve currency for trade of oil and other important commodities. But the rest of the world is getting sick of this because everyone else is saying, well, we can't print money out of thin air. Why should you?
The rest of the world are printing money also. Canada's doing it. France is doing it. Other countries are doing the same thing that we're doing it. I know Canadians, they told me the same thing
that
you're telling.
But the world standard is the dollar bill, and right now China wants to move the world standard off of the dollar, which will totally destroy America.
Yeah, that's what's about.
And I agree with that part. But don't act like the rest of the country are not doing the same thing that we're doing.
No.
But
we're not affected by that. You got to understand that we're not affected by what the other world does, but the world is always affected by what America does.
Right. Because and here's what's happening. The Arab League, along with China and Russia, have already voted unanimously using U.S. dollars for trade of oil. Right now, when the world is bought with U.S. dollars. And now they've already voted unanimously to stop using the U.S. dollar. And so I don't think people can even fathom what effect that's going to have if that actually occurs. We went in, we started a war with Saddam Hussein all because he threatened to use the euro and not the dollar. people don't understand just what this means. And you think that
the economy to go to hyperinflation?
It'll be worse than that. That's what makes America so vulnerable right now, and that's what we don't understand. We think that we are the end all, but we don't understand that we have put ourselves into a position that we are no longer the superpower, and other people have control over us. And if all of them come on the same thinking pattern at the same time to pull the U.S. and the United States down, we'll be in serious trouble.
But Tracy, ask yourself a question.
One at a time. Hold on. Who was that? I think that was not Philadelphia.
Alabama.
There was someone else. Alabama. Ahead.
If everybody on this phone can agree that they're screwing us and they're printing off money and they shouldn't be doing that, everybody can come. Don't you think they can too? And that leads us to wonder, what do they know? They must know something.
They know something.
I'm like, what are they waiting? There's like something they waiting on something to happen, because it's like, this doesn't even make sense if you really are planning for a true future for America. There's no way you would be doing all these spending, taking over all the health care. It just doesn't even make sense unless they think something that they know something we don't know.
That goes back to what we said about thinking outside the box and us sitting up having a conversation. This conversation is not going on a global scale. You got us sitting up here, and we're talking, and we've got a couple thousand people listening to us, but not to the extent of what needs to be happening in America right now on the 21st of November. We need to all be having this conversation around our Thanksgiving tables, asking how are we going to succeed and have a better future tomorrow, and are we going to be manipulated, or are we going to change it on our own? Private caller, you just called in. Your line is on.
Hi, is that me, Tracy?
Yes.
Is that you?
Hey, how are you, darling?
I am fine. I've been listening to points in the broadcast. You've brought up some very interesting issues. This is Pam Vanette. I called in just to say hello and to say that you have some of the most powerful people that are on the line. I mean, they really stay up with national affairs, and they're really staying current with what things are going. But, of course, you always know that when I come on the phone, I'm going to add basically the most non-religious twist that you'll have, but the most basic spiritual twist that I can add to it. You have to take in consideration that if you trust and believe in God, your nation isn't going to hell in a handbasket. Things aren't going to go toward a disaster, but there are positive things that are happening along with the negative. The Bible says that where evil abounded, grace did much more abound. And so what we have to do when we gather this Thanksgiving, I think that you're right, Tracy, we have to ask certain questions, but also we have to stimulate a gratefulness and a gratitude to God for the fact that he has kept us this long and this far, and also to ask him for his plan as to how to resolve this. This particular election season has been, for me, one of the most heartbreaking of any of the election seasons that I've been in on. I have prophesied and predicted every seated president since, the Republican president that everybody talks about all the time, Ronald Reagan. And I've known who was going to be president every single time for all of those years since back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan ran for president. And so what am I saying by all of this? If the church stretches herself and wakes up, the church needs to make certain confessions. The church needs to be involved in the process and stop sitting back and allowing other people to make the decision. The church needs to allow her voice to be known. And so having said that, I'm going to be in the Youngstown area on Sunday at my friend Pastor Frank Amedia's church. It's on 10 Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio. The service starts at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. I deliberately came in at this time, and I was here prior to the elections. Now I'm here after the elections. God put me on gag order about what's going to happen in the elections and the state of the country and everything else until now. Now I'm going to blast it wide open. So I want you who are listening, who really love God or who don't love God but would like to know why we do, please come out to 10 Skyline Drive Sunday morning to Touch Heaven Ministries. That's 10 Skyline Drive, 10 o'clock a.m. And if you come, greet me or let me know that you came because you heard it on the broadcast. I love Tracy. Jeff is my brother. And I'm really looking forward to a powerful time Sunday morning. So come out, one and all. And you all are doing a great job at discussing. I'm so happy and proud that this radio broadcast is on and that so many people have the opportunity to benefit from hearing it and from being a part of it, as I have over the years. Thank you for that.
Hey, well, thanks for calling in. And it's 10 o'clock on Sunday. Skyline Drive is right off of 46, for those of you who are in the Canfield area in the Mahoning Valley. If you go straight up to 224 and go to 46 and make that right and go down maybe about a block and a half, you'll see it over to the right-hand side. It's actually the old North Church. And so come out and see Prophetess Pam Vanette. 10 o'clock on Sunday, am I correct?
Yes, 10 o'clock on Sunday. And I just wanted to stir something with the gentleman that's talking about the economy and talking about the failure of the dollar, the backing of the dollar and all of this. You have to always remember that a dollar goes by a standard. There has to be something that's a standard. And when that standard increases in value, so does the potency of the dollar or the delineation of the dollar. The American dollar was the chief currency. Now you have a rivalry with the euro. The euro system, though, is going to start to see abject failure, and within about 10 years or so, we're going to see all kinds of holes come in the bottom of it, because every system has to go toward the end of the age, and we are fast approaching that, though we're not approaching the end of time. I don't believe that Jesus is returning anytime real soon, and, so there are many things that have to be set in order, but keep in mind that even if the dollar seems to devaluate by the standard of yesterday, its value holds true in the standard of today. For example, what you only needed to spend a nickel for, like we used to get a nickel bag of potato chips. Now that same bag of potato chips is like a dollar, okay? And so, but it still is a bag of potato chips, okay? But we have more dollars to spend on the bag of potato chips. So I want you to see that it goes in scale. If you dare, with your brilliance, if you dare to trust that you can hear something really vibrant from heaven, the idea that you have inside of you is going to take you really far and over a lot of hurdles, and you're going to become one of those people that can speak into and impact how economies flow.
We appreciate that. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I've got the phone lines open. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
I'm Mark, SOM News.
Hey, y'all. Jesse Jackson's going to quit.
Yeah, he's going to resign. Because the Fed has him for trying to buy the senatorial seat.
I know somebody that'll
work.
That sounds
right
there. Well, I'm an asshole. You're on air today at all.
Yep, that's kind of tight.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey, Jeff. You run on the air.
Say he was trying to buy the seat that Barack Obama vacated.
I was sitting around. Tracy called me to ask me if I would come with her, sit in on the program and everything. And I thought Cheryl was going to leave me, so I told her no. Next thing I knew, Cheryl was long gone.
It's your priority,
Tracy. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know y'all had gotten up early.
Look,
My priority, Tracy.
What
the hell's happening? What? Oh, shoot. I thought I hung up the phone. I
don't have
the phone on there. I need to hang up. I have to get off the air.
Anymore, you can come up to the fucking club.
Who's talking? Alex? Is that you?
I'm going to
find out tonight how much I'm making now.
Who's talking?
Who's talking?
I don't know.
That everybody's preaching that he's the one of the best president ever, Ronald Reagan. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. Oh God. There are so many things in Ronald Reagan that I wish conservatives would tell the truth, man. The more I'm reading it, the more I'm like, oh my God, that is your best president? Really?
Sally, what are you saying is wrong with Ronald Reagan?
Many things that he did around the world that was wrong, from Niagara people, that what he did with them, and the thing that he taxed 11 time people, and the deal that he did with Bin Laden, so to not have Russia invade Afghanistan and things like that. I'm going through the book, I'm reading it, and I'm like,
what book are you
reading? I didn't know those things. The more I'm reading
this, what book are you reading?
Let me tell you the title. 2 seconds. Let me go get the book. An American Life, Ronald Reagan, the biography of Ronald Reagan.
The unauthorized.
Who wrote it?
Let me tell you exactly.
Who wrote it?
That's what I'm going through. Ronald Reagan, American Life, Truman Churchland, blah, blah, blah. I think it's him who wrote it. It's him. It's from him.
So now, so you're saying that you're taking whatever this book says as gospel.
I'm not doing the research at the same time. I'm not saying that's gospel. I'm going through the research at the same time. There's many things Ronald Reagan
Stanley.
Said. I'm sorry. Conservatives, if we knew
Stanley.
That.
Stanley.
Go ahead.
I'm back. 240, your mic is on. Okay. What are you guys talking about in the chat room? What did you guys do while I was gone?
Stanley's saying that Ronald Reagan's a big liar.
I'm trying to read the biography of Ronald Reagan because so many conservatives said he was the biggest president, and until you don't know him, you don't know what a president is. So I was like, fine, let me go get a book about him and let me find out if he is what you all are grading, like all that. And the more I'm reading it,
so why don't you like Ronald Reagan now?
Many things that Ronald Reagan had, a lot of things that as people as American we didn't know. There's many things that I'm going through. I'm like, really?
Like what?
Like the deal he did with Bin Laden to have the arms to Bin Laden because of Russia. I didn't know that. I didn't know that part. The thing that he taxed 11 times the American, the Noriega war that he was responsible, the deal that he did with the CIA and everything, the controversy that he did with the director of the CIA basically because they both thought that Russia was the biggest thing in the world and it wasn't. I'm going through the thing that one village got killed, 357 people got killed in a village that was weaponized by us as Americans.
Okay.
There's many things that I'm like, really?
Well, can I make some breaking news? Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse, Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. has resigned from Congress.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah,
we were talking about that just recently.
Yeah.
Well,
it happened about 20 minutes after 2 o'clock.
He got suspended still, though.
Pardon me?
He still gets suspension.
Does he get to keep his pension?
Sure does.
Why
he resigns before prosecution? Because he's resigning before prosecution.
Right. Oh. He also gets his pension, and he's also able to get the disability payments because he claims
exactly.
that he had a mental handicap.
Are you serious?
I'm serious on that, Tracy. He
claims he has a mental handicap. He claims that he's bipolar, and that had an influence on his involvement in this crime and trying to steal this sentence because he went through he's saying he went through a time of depression and he went through a time of mania, and it was during the time when he was in mania is when he wanted to get this sentence and he offered money to get the seat, and he's saying that he's basically saying that he was not able to exercise good judgment because he had this bipolar disorder.
Okay, so now hold up.
He's crazy, so he can't go to jail.
But wait a minute, hold on, guys, one at a time. I don't even know how he get a pension. He got a pension and a disability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he has a pension and disability.
How much is the pension?
Well, the pension
I'm
is
not sure
how
much.
Long he was there. So, like, if he was in Congress for 20 years, then he'll get a pension that's going to be equal to his time in Congress.
Well, I think you get a pension even if you're there one term.
You get a pension.
But it's pretty. I mean, it's a six-figure pension.
Are you serious?
Six-figure, yeah.
It's
like a $1.25 or something, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember reading that somewhere, but, I mean, I may be wrong. But they do get a pension after one term.
Can I get a pension? Hold on. How do they get a taxpayer pension and they only go – and you can be in that one term, but that's only 2 years?
Yeah, well – I think the Congress people can get a pension after, like, 5 years, I think it is.
Hear me what I'm saying. Where else in the world can you get a pension after 5 years and get a nice chunk of change and do it on the taxpayer dime when the country's broke?
That's something that they voted themselves in for.
They voted for it. My question is, why did the American public allow them to vote for it and allow it to stand? Now listen, I only got a few minutes. But now listen, and I want y'all to think about this. I got a pension. I've got a separate pension program. I don't have to worry about Social Security. I got a separate benefit program, but I'm going to dictate yours. Everything is different than yours, and the American people who I dictate are going to pay for it, and I'm going to let you do that. And we allow it. Can anybody explain that to me?
Well, the reason why it's allowed to happen because people don't know what's being voted on. So
why do we allow it? We know about it.
But the average person doesn't know.
Listen. But you can tell me about Snooky, Ray Ray, and all the rest of them people?
Yeah, well, that's what's the problem with the culture. You have an entertainment-driven culture.
No, the president of the United States got elected by going on The View, Letterman, and Jay Leno, and Ellen DeGeneres. Tell me what is wrong with this picture.
Yeah, well,
we just had a hot conversation. Philadelphia, I ain't asking you for your answer. My question is, we just had a serious conversation about the financial economy of America.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that. You don't have this conversation every day where people really need to know about what we're talking about. We talked about quantitative easing. We're talking about what the standard of the dollar is on. We talked about a lot of things on that order. But yet, we've got issues going on where a man can go and resign, get 65% of the vote in his area, resign less than 30 days later to make sure that they can put in who they want in. They have a system that's totally different than ours, and we don't say anything about it because it's okay? Don't we think that something's wrong with this picture?
Well,
but Tracy, how many people would know about it?
Right. People don't know about it.
How many people are going to know about it? Because the news media, all they're going to do is report on poor Jesse Jackson Jr. He had a mental, and the news, if Fox says anything about it, they're going after this man. Number one, he's got a mental illness. Number two, he's black. So they're going to go after him for that. Okay, two handicaps. Big mistake. And they're going to off on that.
Whoa, South Carolina. Philadelphia, when did black become a handicap?
That's the way the media is going to play it.
but it is a handicap because a lot of us are not informed. The only thing we watch on television is Basketball Wise and Love and Hip Hop and BET.
Silly.
So most of us are not watching C-SPAN or CNN or Fox News. We're not watching those channels.
Yeah, we watch the CNN and MSNBC.
But what I'm saying is the majority of us are not getting the details of what's actually of the news stories that are appearing before us because we're too wrapped up in BET and these other networks that just give entertainment all day long.
So tell me why we are gearing. I'm just saying. I mean, I know the answer, but don't we understand that they're gearing us towards a ignorant society, and they're dumbing us down more and more so they can manipulate us.
Well, they've been doing that for over a generation now.
It says public health proposal considers mandatory smoker's license. A public health proposal suggests that tobacco smokers should be required to apply and pay for a smoker's license in order to continue buying cigarettes? Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, well, they've been trying to ban the use of cigarettes in public places.
You got to understand, this is not about a ban. This is about common sense. Now, in New York now, it causes you, they spend make you spend a lot of money. You're not allowed to sell a soda that's more than 32 ounces.
Yeah. But that's because the government is trying to impose health standards on people.
When did the government become, you know, my keeper?
Well, that's
no.
Why the things we're seeing, the government is involved in your daily, everyday life. It's going to become even more so when they put the medical records on computer files.
So my
that
question
way,
is, are we not paying attention? We don't need your explanation. Are we not paying attention?
Well, obviously, most of us aren't.
Are we not understanding that we are headed into, we are, you know, Prophetess Pam just said, you know, she talked about what you used to pay for things. And I think someone else mentioned it also. And I said it a little bit earlier. A loaf of bread, my mom said she used to buy Wonder Bread for a nickel. Now Wonder Bread is $3. That's 60 nickels. Alex, is that you laughing at me?
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. That's what people don't, you know, realize, you know. But they just keep printing the money.
and I played the little clip earlier about, you know, minimum wage going up. Are we not understanding that we are taking ourselves into our own demise? We're not a sovereign nation anymore. And right now, I think it was Alabama. But are we not paying attention to what all is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do better, and we need to go out and talk more, share more information so that people know what's going on around us, so that people can begin to think and wake up on their own, especially during the next year. Because we can't afford to continue on the way the route that we're going. Because if we do, we're going to lose. I'm done. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys back here on Monday at 12 noon. Yeah. And we appreciate you. God bless you. Safe travels if you're traveling this weekend. Please be careful out there. We'll see you again on Monday. God bless.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow.